talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Everybody, here we go. Come on, party people. Throw your hands in the air. Come on, party people. Wave them like you don't care.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I, for one, am going to rent Finding Nemo.
Ooh, we don't carry cartoons. But if you want a film about the ocean, we have a documentary about the brutality of Japan's whaling industry. It's called Tears of My Blowhole, and it's nauseating.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla burst.
Anything can be a slam poem if you say it like this. Pointless.
And now,
are you keeping it real more than you are chilling, or are you more chilling than keeping it real right now?
More chilling than keeping it real.
Our feature presentation.
I like that whoever that was answered. Mm-hmm. Morning, everybody. It's Tuesday morning. It is December 8th. Welcome to another Kevin and Bean Show. How are y'all?
Doing great, Bean. How about you?
I told Chip first thing this morning, at least it's Friday, and you should have seen her little face.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, Bean just starts that early.
Yeah. It's not nice.
It's not cool.
But it was so funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Did you guys see the Monday Night Football game last night?
Yeah.
I heard it was a disaster.
It was. Well, here's the thing is, I got a couple of updates. I would see Twitter every once in a while, and it was like 6-3, mm-hmm. You know, nonsense scores. But then for some reason, it was 9-9. And with like a minute and a half to go, and that, for some reason, I said, I need to catch the end of this game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why? That's a terrible game, 9-9.
Well, you probably wouldn't think you'd see 2 touchdowns and a field goal.
Right.
In that amount of time.
So I turned it on, and the last minute and a half was the best football game I've ever seen. I mean, it was fantastic. There were turnovers. There were 2 touchdowns. It was great.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys won, so America is sad.
Yes, both, yes.
Okay.
And they still have a shot at the playoffs.
At the playoffs, I know.
What's up?
I know. There have been a lot of games lately that have gone down to that last minute. You know, anything can happen. I mean, who would have ever thought at halftime, you know, that Thursday night game that the Packers could come back?
And yeah.
You know, I mean, that, you know, like they say, that's why they play all 60 minutes is you know, you never know what's going to happen at the end. But that's good. At least it, you know. At least it salvaged the night.
But they played 58-30 of bad football.
Yeah.
Right. And they turned it on.
They turned it on, yeah.
Speaking of sports, I've got a sports-related story. This involves soccer, Kevin, so maybe you'll be interested. I'm always fascinated when, and this happens in courts sometimes, in criminal cases, where a judge has creative sentencing. And I'm always fascinated with what they come up with. In this case, this is a player named you've never heard of this player or this team, but his name is Kerem Dembélé. He is in a German second division soccer club called Fortuna Düsseldorf, and he was thrown out of a game the other day, and he started screaming at the referee Bibi Stenhai.
Oh, Bibi does good work.
That women had no place in soccer because she is a female referee. So he was furious about being thrown out of the game, so he took it out on the ref and called attention to the fact that she was a woman. And there's been a lot of, you know, where very slowly you're starting to see Major League Baseball umpires. There's a female ref now who did the Patriots game on Saturday.
Yeah, the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you saw a photo of Bill Belichick with his hands around her neck at one point during the game. And a lot of people are like, hey, wait a minute. Is this something he ever in a million years would have done with a male ref? I mean, you know, people are still getting used to the idea of women as referees. Anyway, so the club fines the player $15,000 for his remarks. He did later apologize to the referee, both in person and in public. He also is still facing a potential suspension by the league. But his club, Fortuna Düsseldorf, also made him referee a girls' soccer game.
Wow.
Ooh, sock it to the man.
Wow.
They're like 12, okay? It's that kind of girls' soccer. So he is a professional player in Germany, and they said, you have to go be the ref for their soccer game. And I'm looking at a picture of him just standing there with all these little girls. He did it over the weekend. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, is that an appropriate sentence, or is that another way of saying girls' soccer is so bad that it's punishment for you to have to go watch it?
That's
it feels like that.
What I thought.
It does feel like that.
Yeah, I just wonder if that was kind of the intention of it, you know? But, and by the way, just because he is a player doesn't mean he knows how to be a referee either.
Oh, it's, yeah, right. Two completely different things.
Yeah, yeah, which kind of seems like that's a little bit of a raw deal for the girls, too, who are playing now with an unqualified referee. So I don't know that that one really works for me in terms of some creative sentencing. I get the idea of what they were trying to do, but it seems to me like a fail on a couple of levels.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Swing and a miss.
So anyway, that's the last thing he expected to be doing with his weekend, though. I mean, I assume, I mean, it's second division, but he still probably has some celebrity, some notoriety,
sure,
right? I would think he's living a pretty decent life.
Yeah, if you're fined $15,000, you're making some good money,
you're
I assume.
Making some money, right. So the last thing he expected was this weekend he would end up reffing a girls' soccer team. But it's a pretty funny photo to see him standing there with all of them. So I hope he took him out for pizza or something afterwards. Isn't that what you do?
He should have just started red carding everybody. You're gone. You're gone. It totally would have backfired.
How do you like it? That's so much fun when you get kicked out of a game, is it?
Although then he'd get beat up by parents. So all right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Well, here's what you should do. Kill yourself.
Oh.
Before?
I think you can go ahead
say
and
this?
Say it. Yeah.
Okay. And then?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. We're going to do top 10 moments with.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This is never a good thing for me.
how, you don't know, man. You might not have made the top 10. You don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Wait till you see the rundown. I'm going to let Omar tell you. Wait till you see how many moments with this year.
Yeah.
And what the breakdown was on who contributed them. You'll love it.
I think it's the same as every year. It's me 95%, right?
Well, I guess we'll find out. Didn't know you'd already seen the paper.
I have not, but that's every year. Henry Rollins is going to be on the program today.
Awesome.
He has a honked up movie.
Yeah.
It's so weird. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're also going to talk to Lily Aldridge today, who is a Victoria's Secret model, about the Victoria's Secret fashion show tonight.
Mm.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Done?
Brought it in for a soft landing, though. I'm pretty proud of myself. Yeah.
Comedian Rhys Darby on the program today. We have Halsey in the studio talking about her CD, Badlands, and also Acoustic Christmas. And we have tickets, by the way, for on the floor for both nights. And the way we're going to do it today, should we announce it now or does it? Time out, everybody. All right. Should we announce it now? Or should
we can.
Announce it later?
I would announce it now so they have some time.
To work on it. Okay. Time back in.
Okay.
We're going to take your songs. You write a song and you perform a song about why you need to be at the show.
Mm-hmm.
Who you need to see, who you love, why you need to be on the floor for both nights of Acoustic Christmas. So
that's you have all the time in the world because it's not till 8:30.
Right. So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
Oh, please, please.
Wow. Crowd, very excited to see you back
please,
here, Mr. Garman.
Put down the pitchforks and the torches. Thank you. Thank you so much.
How's it going, young man?
It's going.
How was Las Vegas?
Click, clock, click, clock. The time is just ticking down. Just the clock's just ticking down.
To death?
Yes, just so I can just lay down for the final time. Just get some sweet, sweet rest. It's been a rough couple weeks.
Looking forward to vacation, are you?
A little bit.
Okay.
Ralph.
Oh, I can see why Bean does that. It feels good.
Feels good to lay down, right?
A nice little break in the day. A nice little mini nap there. I like that. I can see why he does it now.
Well, you were very much missed yesterday.
Well, thank you.
So welcome back.
Good to be back.
What do you got for us?
I have, first of all, mad love from my boy in Missouri before I get into showbiz news.
Your boy in Missouri.
Not my boy in Missouri. My boy in Missouri. 19-year-old kid allegedly was caught breaking into the Budweiser brewery there in St. Louis. God bless him. He's a good man, and I want to support him and give some money towards his defense fund. 19-year-old broke into the Budweiser brewery. You know his name?
No.
Any guesses?
Bud.
Bud?
Oh.
Weiser.
What?
Yeah! Right?
And that's his home.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
You got to give this kid a break. Let him in. Give him a key. Let him in.
What?
Your name's Budweiser. You drink for free at the Budweiser Brewery.
I don't think so. They're a big company. They can absorb that. Sure.
Right. Right. How much could he drink into their profits? One guy named Budweiser. No wonder he showed up. He's probably loaded, looked up to that giant neon sign. I'm home.
Mom, I don't remember that sign being
Mom,
there, but
let me in. So I'm going to contribute to his defense.
I like it.
Budweiser, the company, should come out and say, although we don't condone anybody breaking an enemy, we would like to offer Mr. Budweiser a lifetime supply of our product. That would be the best thing they could do for him.
Right. Now,
and anyone else who wants to name their kids Budweiser, you also get free beer.
Bring it on. You get a little card, like a golden ticket from Willy Wonka's factory. You get a little card you carry in your wallet. Anywhere you go, you should get free Budweiser.
Yep. Can't buy that kind of publicity.
No, you cannot. See, Bean, that's why you're a mover and a shaker. Right? Is it? That's why you're a trendsetter.
Is he any of those things?
An opinion maker.
That's my John.
That's his John right there. Could there be anything more tailor-made for Miss Allie McKay than the following story?
All right.
Maybe you're aware, Allie, what's going to happen on Thursday, December the 17th.
Yes. I think I do. Does it involve two of my favorite things coming together?
It does indeed.
Oh, my head's going to explode.
It's whiskers on kittens and bright copper kettles. Two of your favorite things. No.
Warm
all right, let me. I don't know this one, so let me guess, because I know Allie.
Okay.
Is it Star Wars and being single forever?
Oh, no. Wow, you're that's hurtful.
You're half right.
Hurtful.
I don't know if the second one's her favorite thing or not.
No. I mean, I'm good at it.
Might be what she's been sentenced to by
a harsh reality.
Okay. God, but not, maybe not a favorite thing.
Okay, so Star Wars.
Yeah, you're halfway there. What's the other thing? Who's Allie's favorite TV personality?
Oh, Roz from Frasier.
Yes, close. There's another one. There's also Fozzie. There's still one more.
Favorite TV personality?
Who are we missing?
Who would she not meet when given the opportunity?
Oh, Conan
O'Brien is putting together a Star Wars special for Thursday, December the 17th, in which he will have Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac, Adam Driver, Lupita Nyong'o, Gwendolyn Christie, and J.J. Abrams all in the studio on one show talking Star Wars the night the midnight shows begin.
They start earlier, and they start at 7 p.m., which she's going to. So what does she do now?
I know. We were discussing this yesterday. I'm going to the movie at 7 that night, so I can't go.
Wow.
Because Conan will probably be taping at 5 or something.
Yeah.
Right?
But I'm sure I'm sure we could get you into that.
Well, you were nice enough to get me into the Jimmy Kimmel event, and then I got whatever that was.
Never mind then.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
This is why you failed.
That is why I failed. I'm just not meant to be around Star Wars people. I think it's best for everyone.
Probably,
yeah.
I'm sure security's happy. Johnny Depp's wife, Amber Heard. An innocent woman, she claims. When, believe it or not, court proceedings are still going on down in Australia regarding her dogs.
What's happening with this?
They got nothing better to do in Australia.
This has been a year-long story about their dog.
An attorney for Amber Heard was down under, entering a not guilty plea yesterday as, once again, brought in front of officials who are accusing Amber for illegally importing animals into the country. Oh, you know, she's not starting a puppy farm.
So they brought their dog to Australia.
On a private jet, and apparently they didn't go to the procedures.
And that's it, though. That's the whole story,
that's
right?
That's the story.
She didn't bring in 100,000 rattlesnakes and let them loose in Sydney, did
she? Not.
She's not being charged with that yet.
This charge, by the way, still carries a penalty of 10 years in prison with a $102,000 fine.
That seems fair.
It does. Now, Amber said she's willing to go down under if she has to face trial, but court has determined that yet another hearing will be scheduled for December the 15th to see what their options will be regarding prosecuting this evil criminal, this international criminal.
Kevin's right, though. It is turning into the O.J. trial at this point. It does seem like it's been going on for years.
Is the judge Seinholder Nick?
I want to meet her so bad. Yeah. You get her butt in here.
And remember we were talking about Seinfeld? I said he was going to do a little residency in New York City at the Beacon Theater. Well, the tickets went on sale yesterday morning. for his first six concerts. Doing one show a month. First six concerts sold out in less than 5 minutes. So they added six more. Those dates are all gone, too. That means Jerry has to work at least one night a month for all of 2016. Luckily, he lives on the Upper West Side in New York City, so he can literally walk to his gig once a month. But not too shabby. It's the way to go if you can, right? Pick a theater.
He's probably making
house.
Absolutely. Making a few $100,000 for every night he's working,
easily.
Too, I imagine.
Not that he needs the money, but he's doing all right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger is 62 years old today. Is it Basinger or Basinger? I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways as well.
Terry Hatcher? Is it Hatcher?
I don't think it's Hatcher.
I've heard it both ways.
I don't think you've ever heard it that way.
Terry Hatcher is 51 years old today. Sinead O'Connor is 49. Apparently she's doing better. She's getting treatment. She's on the mend. And she said she will rise again after her recent issues. Seems like she battles some demons, Sinead O'Connor. 49 years old. Corey Taylor of Slipknot is 42. Dominic Monaghan's 39. Ian Somerhalder, remember him from Lost, and now he's a vampire over there in the CW. He's 37. Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers is 34. Nicki Minaj celebrates her 33rd birthday. L.A. Kings star Drew Doughty is 26. And Katie Stevens, actress, plays Karma over there on MTV's Faking It. We've had her in the studio. She's 23. I'm Ralph Garman. Walk the Showbiz Beat.
We'll talk to Victoria's Secret supermodel Lily Aldridge later this hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. And keep on listening for your chance to win tickets for the sold out both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which, by the way, is going to be this weekend. And keep it on K-Rock for all the details on how you can see the show and listen to all the stuff from backstage if you're not going to be lucky enough to be there at the Forum with us.
Yes.
All right, near the end of the year, we do top 10 lists, and we count down the best of the year. So,
why do we do? What is this?
A good time. We have a top 10 list of things that happened during the year.
Right? During the year.
Different categories of things?
Different categories, yeah. In this particular category is Moments With.
What is this?
Moments With.
Moments With. What's a moment? What's a moment with? I'm confused.
F you, Ralph.
It's a moment with a part of the show where maybe one member of the show has a bit of a verbal and mental meltdown that leads invariably to hilarity, and then what we do is we collect those, and then we judge what were the top 10 moments with.
Sure.
Kevin, why don't you sound excited about this? There are very few categories.
Don't you sound excited?
Because there are very few categories of things in
here's
which
where
you shine.
Here's where Bean tries to make me feel good about this.
I want you to go to the tree, break off a switch, bring it to me, son, but I want you to like it, is what Bean is saying.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that this is an area where you are a winner. You should embrace that.
You really do excel.
You excel. Well,
but this is all moments of fail, though. That's what this is. This is failure.
I don't think you're alone this year. I don't think this is a Kevin-centric list. I'm getting the sense.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, I'm excited to hear about it, but because Omar is here, and he's the one who put the list together.
Here's Omar. Hey, Omar.
Are you? I'm so tired. I'm putting these moments with together.
Yeah.
All year long. You know, I have other things to do in that studio, but like 90% of my time is putting these moments with together.
And we demand a pretty quick turnaround.
Absolutely.
On them, too.
Yeah.
Kevin will say something and be like, we need that for the next break. Yeah. Make that a moment with.
Kevin or whoever.
Or whoever.
Right. Yeah. But mostly Kevin.
Right. So how many moments with did we score in 2015, Omar?
Total of 41.
41 moments.
41.
41. That's out of a year of shows. That's not that many moments.
Right?
Really.
Yeah, but it's almost one a week, though.
Yeah, on average, it's in the years past, it's been about 30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is a pretty good year.
So good. Well, bumper crop.
Yeah.
We're bringing it.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the breakdown?
Here's the breakdown. Okay. We have Allie with three.
Oh,
three?
Yeah. Out of the 10?
Three of the...
Of the top 10?
No. Of the total. Oh, yeah. Ralph, four.
Yeah. 4 moments?
Bean, 12.
Yeah, Bean's coming on. Bean really tried this year, I think.
Yeah.
He really gave it his all.
You know, that aneurysm he had really helped.
Yeah, for sure. And Kevin, 22.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen.
So over half.
Yeah, he's still the king.
And still champion.
Yeah.
Give him the belt.
Or medal, or whatever we have.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for, well, Omar will tell you in the jingle.
Top 10 moments with. Come on, come all, come on and have some fun, because you will not believe how the Kevin and Bean Show is so dumb. They're a little slow and definitely no wordsmiths. Come on, let's laugh. It's Top 10 Moments With
of 2015. Dumb.
Do you feel like maybe you put too fine a point on that?
No.
Too much on the nose.
All right. Oh, are you leading us through these? You want to give us? Do we need some setup for any of these? Or
I don't have the list, so you're going to have to. I didn't know I was going to do that.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
But I have a. I could get the list somewhere around here. I think. Yeah. Wow, that's nice.
Good work,
that
Kevin.
Almost made it.
That's helpful. Take the list and then bury it in the middle of the console where no one can reach it.
Here we go. By the way.
So we're starting with 10 and working our way up, right?
Exactly, okay. Yeah. By the way, putting this list together is so hard because I'm in the other studio just laughing my ass off.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you choose?
Yeah, so I have the top, the 41 on one, and then I whittle it down to a second, third. It's just very difficult.
Right, it's American Idol.
Okay, exactly, yeah. So 10 comes in at Kevin.
Oh, what? Very, I made it!
Very embarrassing moment because this question he asked to one of his favorite bands, and we all remember this Muse question.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it, later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah. That does make it much worse because I love Muse, and they were staring at me like I was an alien.
That's when you doubled down right there in that moment.
At 9, we have Kevin.
What?
Surprise, surprise.
I made it in 2 of them?
You did. And this is spectacular because we have Donald Trump on the phone, and he says Ariana Grande, and not a couple of seconds go by, and you say this.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
And I was just saying to my other very good friend, Ariana Grande, the other day, as we were going around licking donuts together.
You were licking donuts with Ariana Grande? or however you say her name?
No, I don't know who that is.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
What happened? Ariana Grande? What happened? What happened there, Junior Sample? First of all, I don't get the reference. But second of all,
he was on Hee Haw.
I don't have any idea because I've never heard anyone say it that way.
Because no one ever has.
Because no one ever has. So why? I don't know.
But what floors me is that Donald Trump just said.
Right, yeah, I got it. I heard your setup, Omar.
You're a trailblazer.
At number 8, we have Kevin.
What?
Again. Yes.
Come on.
He's talking about somebody's song, and it's called Do It, and he confuses Do It because he has 3 O's with 3, with zeros.
Ah.
Here it is.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
The first song is the one that you performed on the MTV Awards called Do It with 3 zeros. Do. I mean, O's. Do it.
Shut up, Omar. I don't need your help.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh, so many zeros in the word do. You know zero's a number, right, Kev?
No, I don't understand why everyone's laughing.
Oh, okay.
Number
Who's
7.
Next?
Looky, we have Kevin again.
This is unbelievable.
Come on now.
Just play it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage. That's back rage.
We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I'm guessing I meant backlash.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I love that you asked us what you're thinking.
Yeah, shut up.
Back rage.
Need your help, Allie.
At number 6, we have surprise,
Omar.
Surprise, Kevin.
Come on now. I thought Beaton tried really hard this year.
Play the clip.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the... He didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it, that's for sure.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Are we all having fun?
Is that supposed to be like a combination of skimp and cheap or something?
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
Kevin,
that's
what it was. Why are you throwing things at Omar?
I'm not. We're all having fun.
Put his eye out.
You could have taken his eye out.
All right, at number 5, we have Ralph.
What?
Yes.
There we go.
Now, it's really rare for Ralph to have a moment where...
Yeah, he's a son of a bitch that way.
You can hear him have a stroke in this one.
And now, A Moment with Ralph.
Peppa opposes.
Welcome
to my world.
I just had a flirtation.
That was a moment with Ralph.
That was a good one.
Yeah, it happened.
That was a stroke, man. That's not funny.
Oh, it's funny when it's me.
At number four, we have Allie. And this is big time.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Top five. Shake it up.
She was talking about Ralph. And out of nowhere, she calls you Frank. Check it out.
And now, a moment with Allie.
Remember yesterday when Frank was talking about Dolce & Gabbana, the two designers that...
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Who's Frank? You said, remember yesterday when Frank said, who's Frank?
Yes.
I just looked at Chip. I was like, did she say Frank? Are you talking about Ralph?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Sleeps in one day and you forget him.
That was a moment with Allie.
Wow.
Oh, sorry, Frank.
That's all right.
Frank does good work.
Number three, Bean.
Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Bean came on strong with this one. Check it out.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Like, what? I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking I fell off his chair.
That was a moment with Bean.
That may, all regard to you, Kev, to you, Omar, and your judging, but that may be my personal favorite.
Oh, that's what I was so thinking good. Too. Is that so number good. One? But let's find out.
And I and when I hear that, I go, "There's no expression that I was going for there.
Nope.
Nobody says altitude, get off the boat. Like, where did that even come from? I have no idea."
And number two, and we have Bean again.
What?
Yes, and there's actually two moments that happen simultaneously at the same time.
Can you make a moment with that?
Yeah, I'm going to go right in there. But check this out.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Mr. Trump, if you can point out that she has had some bumpy business roads.
Carly Fiorina has had some bumpy business roads.
Isn't that true of you also with all the bankruptcies that you've declared over the years? It just seems like you're the kettle calling the pot black.
Not the pot calling the kettle black.
However that expression goes. Come on, Donald.
That was a moment with me.
Actually,
come on.
Triple because he had called her Carly Fiorina just moments before that. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. How is that not number one of the year?
That was a three-point play from half court.
It really was.
Number one is...
What?
Kevin.
Yeah. He's back.
And the reason this one comes in at number one is because... I don't know what happened in his brain works like this one for even Kevin is like, whoa, like what happened? Just listen to it and then we'll discuss.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife, but he's running. He's going to stab people.
Why
does
he stab people?
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, let's find out. Let's
investigate more. Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you
house?
Talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of stab anybody. Screech.
You were thinking of Screech? You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're right, Omar. Yeah. You're right.
Uh-huh.
So that's number one, then, huh?
We still got it, you guys.
We still got it.
Top 10 moments with of 2015. Dumb. 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 Dumb.
All right. So the problem in America is that it's too hard to buy a gun. I think that's the conclusion that we're all coming to.
I've not heard that from anywhere.
Just no place to go to get a gun. Firearms are very difficult to come by. And that's why I'm pleased to announce that Gun TV is going to be debuting on January 20th during the Gun Industries trade show in Las Vegas. It's going to start out with 6 hours of programming a day, And then it hopes to, by the end of 2016, expand into a full-time 24-hour-a-day live gun shopping channel.
I got to be honest, I didn't see this one coming.
No.
Really? Gun-related programming, they'll sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call a toll-free number and get yourself a gun. So we have many questions about how this channel will work and what the legalities are with all of the, you know, all the rules about who can buy a gun and background checks and everything else. So we thought we'd get somebody on the show to talk about it, and Dave has lined up for us Mr. Lewis Martindale from Gun TV. Mr. Martindale, thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us this morning. How are you, sir?
You're welcome. How are you doing?
We're good.
We're doing fine. So Gun TV, huh? The goal is a 24-hour channel about nothing but firearms.
Not only that, but it's the first 24-hour firearm shopping channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. Yeah, we'll be having programs about guns and how to polish your gun, how to touch your gun, and how to kiss your gun. But also, we'll be selling you guns, too. Here's the thing. In America, for every 100 residents in America, there are 89 firearms. And we think we can get that up to 100. 100% USA. USA.
Are you getting a little blowback on this idea? Because it seems like maybe now is the wrong time to launch.
Some people have some back rage about it, but we have just decided to hold steady and say, Second Amendment, bitches!
Right, but I mean, if you already have 9 guns for every 10 people in the country, I don't know, I feel like maybe we're covered.
Right, unless you're the one without the gun. And then number 10 comes in the door, and what do? You poop your pants. Woo!
Wait, are you shooting a gun now?
Of course I am. Am I breathing?
Are you in a safe place? Are you at a gun range? You're not shooting in a neighborhood, are you?
Am I in a safe place? Am I in a gun-free zone? You typical Californians. I'm living in America. That's where I am.
Right.
Woo!
Whoa, that sounded heavy. What was that?
That was a gun.
Okay, all right.
You too can have one if you go to Gun TV and buy.
But what about background checks and making sure people should be able to get a gun? How's that going to come in?
Thanks, Obama.
Well, I think it's important to have people that are, you know, sane.
Here's my background check. Are you an American? Gun!
Oh.
There it is. Check. Background check.
So they just get delivered right to your door? You just pick up 800 number and you'll send them to anybody?
Well, no. I wish it was that. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could be, the Amazon Prime of guns?
No, that's a terrible idea.
But no, you buy it and then we send it to a licensed federal gun dealer and then you have to go pick it up. But
and that's when they do the background check then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wink, wink.
All right, that sounds like an awful lot of firepower if you're just shooting bullets at nothing.
Make sure you tune in, by the way, to Gun TV. We're going to have some amazing holiday specials, of course. Don't forget, Christmas is coming up.
Right.
So we're going to celebrate Happy Holiday K-47.
That's
catchy. In case you want to pick yourself up an assault weapon, it's a great time at Christmas. And don't forget, a Derringer makes a lovely stocking stuffer.
Okay, why do I need an assault weapon, Lewis?
What if you got assaulted?
Okay,
America!
He makes a good point, Dean. Argue that.
In Valentine's Day, we're going to be having Valentine's Day special. How about for you, the woman you love, a box of chocolate-covered bullets?
Well, what?
Look out for the shotgun shells. They got a crunchy center.
Okay, but nobody wants to eat that, Lou.
I'm not saying you eat bullets. You suck the chocolate off them, and then you put the bullets in your gun.
Oh.
How about Father's Day? Your dad may not wear Magnums, but he can own one.
Oh,
and of course, don't miss our Halloween specials. We're going to have an amazing Halloween special all month long. Welcome to Glocktober. America, guns.
So much show coming up today, including actor, musician, writer Henry Rollins next hour. We also have Halsey stopping by today, comedian Rhys Darby on the program today. And we want to give you tickets for both nights of this weekend's sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is at the Forum Saturday and Sunday night. We're giving you a little heads up early this time. We're not going to do the giveaway until around 8:20 this morning because we want you to have some time to prepare. Kevin, what are we looking for this morning?
We are looking for a fan song. Sing it and win it. So basically, you're making up a song, why you need to come to both nights, the band you love, whatever reason you need to be there, you make up a song, you sing it, and then we're going to take your calls, we'll pick the best one.
All right, start working on that. We'll invite your phone calls in around 8:20 this morning to find out why you, of all people, need to get a ticket. Speaking of Acoustic Christmas, I believe our next guest has been to a couple of those. Victoria's Secret Angel Lily Aldridge joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the fashion show tonight at 10 o'clock on CBS. Hey, Lily.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so sad I'm not in town for the Acoustic Christmas.
I know. It's such a fun night, and we love it when you're able to come. And we have 22 different acts playing over two nights this weekend.
It's incredible.
I know.
It's always my favorite. You know, you guys have always been my favorite, obviously.
You have seen your fair share of concerts, too, I imagine. I imagine you seem like the type of person who goes to see as much as you can.
I've been to so many shows. One of my first concerts that I actually, like, got tickets for myself was the Weenie Roast when The Cure played.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, that was, I got front row tickets, and I remember singing, the Aquabats were playing, and I pretended I knew the words of the song, and I was singing really loud. I was like 10 years old. And the guy in front of me looked back at me, I'll never forget, and he was like, what are you
You're not saying any of the words.
You're not saying any of the words.
Is that the year that The Cure came on, like, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something? There was a long delay?
I don't remember. It's so little, but I loved it. It was everything. I had a lay on and like Hawaiian shorts.
That's funny. Well, listen, Lily, the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, which is really beamed down to earth from Jesus every year, it really is the most proof in the world that heaven exists, and it airs every year on CBS. And I want you to know, here's how committed I was to this interview, is I spent a lot of time yesterday researching the newest angels that are going to be on the special tonight.
Nice.
Because I'm a professional, because I care about my job.
Right.
And I was so surprised, because this year Victoria's Secret released a bunch of the behind-the-scenes casting videos, and I was so surprised what you guys go through. Even somebody like you who's done it multiple times before, you kind of still have to show up and say, hey, am I in, right? I mean, like, you're not guaranteed to be in, right?
Well, I'm guaranteed to be in.
Oh! There is a Lily Aldridge exception.
All the girls that are angels all get to be in, and then there's girls that do a casting, and the casting is super intense. It's super emotional. Like, girls cry.
I was so surprised to see some of the girls,
girls have to audition,
Yeah, Gigi Hadid, for instance, this was her third try to be on this show. Yeah. Like, how does she ever walk in a room and somebody say, no angel for you?
You know, it's so much work, and a lot of it has to do with nerves. Sometimes going into these castings, you get super nervous. My first casting, I was so nervous I could barely walk and talk. And it is so much about personality that they want to see, like, who you are. And sometimes you just get too nervous. So I would say nerves are probably what gets people a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so, because you know how it's such a pressure-packed situation, and you know you have 1 minute to make your impression on the judges, and it's kind of hard to relax and see what you would be like as a personality not in that circumstance.
Yeah, my casting, I just was, like, dancing around the room like an idiot.
whatever.
I get, like, I'm the opposite. I start telling bad jokes and, like, dancing.
You talk too much? You don't let anybody else get a word in?
Exactly.
When you get nervous? Right now? No, you're not doing that now.
I read a little bit about Megan Pullerly, the one who's from Ohio, and the story that was told that I thought was so interesting is that her parents went up to the guy at Victoria's Secret and said, hey, my daughter wants to be a model. What do you think? This was a couple of years ago. And he said, I would never let my daughter be a model. And I was really surprised to hear that from him. Would you ever let your daughter be a model?
I would let my daughter do whatever she wants, as long as she was healthy and happy and, you know, it was nothing terrible. But if she wanted to be a model, if she wanted to be a scientist, if she whatever she wants to do, I will be so proud.
It's a field that you are comfortable with people going into, like, even though it's a hard job and there are a lot of things that you know, there's a lot of frustration, a lot of hard work, it's something you think it's a good career for people.
Well, I mean, I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful I have my job. It's such a good job if you treat it like a job. When I was really younger, a big supermodel told me, like, it's a job, it's not a lifestyle. Like, the girls that get caught up in the lifestyle don't last. But if you treat it like a job, like, you go to work, like, how awesome is your job? You get to go to work every morning, talk to people, be funny. Like, it's the best job ever. You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, we don't get to be hot, but other than that, yes.
Yeah.
super hot.
What's on the show tonight that's different from years we've seen in the past of the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show?
Well, I'm wearing the $2 million bra, which is
holy moly.
How heavy is it?
Very exciting. It's not heavy. It's like a coconut bra bedazzled in diamonds.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think they're just letting anyone show up and wear it, though.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Is there some type of competition amongst you guys to be able to wear it? Because they did make a big announcement. Lily Eldridge this year is wearing.
Yeah, it's a huge secret. They actually did this like huge elaborate scheme to get me into a studio one day and surprise me with it. And they just picked one of the girls that they feel deserves it, and this year was me, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
It was awesome.
Do they have security guards on either side of you as you walk?
Security the whole time. I was trying to convince them to let me run away with the bra. They weren't having it. But I almost convinced them. But
now, there's always music on the show. Who's on the program tonight?
Selena Gomez, Ellie Goulding, and The Weeknd are performing.
Strong.
Which is very strong, very strong. The Weeknd was amazing. I actually walked down the runway with him. And I was trying not to sing every word, but it's impossible because it's so catchy. Hopefully, I look a little cool.
We're talking to Lily Eldridge here on the Kevin Bean Show about the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show, which is going to be airing tonight at 10 o'clock on CBS. By the way, this show is seen in more than 180 countries. Are there Victoria's Secret stores in that many countries?
There are stores in England and Dubai, I think, and I think in Shanghai, maybe. I actually don't think Shanghai. But there's not that many international stores, but there should be because we have fans from all over the world. It's crazy.
My problem is that I'll tune in tonight and I'll see all of this stuff, and then no one wears it in regular life, and I want that to start happening.
I do.
You wear it in real life. Oh, you're in real life, right?
Yeah, just walking around in the wings all the time, killing it. Okay.
I think on that note, I think I want to have that memory. So it's a good time to say goodbye.
Kevin, you can stop playing.
We're done?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Well, Lily, we're excited to see you back on the TV tonight. Please stop by and visit sometime and have a wonderful holiday season and say hello to your beautiful family.
Thank you. Have the best time this weekend. I wish I was going to be there.
We sure will. We love you. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, bye, guys.
Thank you, bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
And Ralph Garman is here with the show Biz Beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Very cool moment happened in Paris, France. You know, of course, not only the city still reeling from the terror attacks from 3 weeks ago, but also music and rock and roll took a hit as well that night at the Bataclan Concert Hall when Eagles of Death Metal were performing and that horrible attack happened. Well, as you can imagine, U2 couldn't play Paris on Monday night without addressing that issue, and I think they did it so in a very, very cool way. Here's Bono bringing out some friends to join him on stage.
La plus beau sang au monde! Now, nothing left except to introduce you to some people whose lives will forever be a part of the city of Paris. These are our brothers, our fellow troubadours. They were robbed of their stage 3 weeks ago, and we would like to offer them ours tonight. Would you welcome the Eagles of Death Metal?
16,000 people. Standing as one, cheering the band as they made the stage. Of course, U2 was slated to perform in Paris just one day after the attack, so they canceled that show and postponed it until Monday night. And by all accounts, it was a very emotional evening, a very cool event. They sang, of course, the Eagles' death metal tune, I Love You All the Time, which has now sort of become an anthem for that event. But also another great song, Patti Smith's song, People Have the Power, was performed by U2 and the Eagles' death metal. Here's a little taste. When it comes to the power of rock and roll, U2's got the market cornered.
Yeah, they do.
They really know how to bring it, so very cool. All right, we get it. French, yes, French.
Oui, oui, mademoiselle.
Yes, French. They're French.
people in Paris are French. Here's other good news. NBC announced they have renewed The Blacklist for another season.
All right.
Oh, it's so good this season. Amazing how that show was able to turn on a dime, to be one thing, and then completely reinvent itself this season. And it has just been just as compelling and just as good. And amazing performances from Spader, of course, as always. But Megan Boone also. And just a great cast. Harry Lennox. And just great, great storytelling. I really enjoy that.
I'm going to say that show a lot. Because you know how critical I am.
You don't get to talk about The Blacklist. We've told you
nothing
that.
Nothing from you. Nothing.
You know
nothing.
That Megan Boone plays the worst FBI nothing from agent you ever.
Being nothing. It was her first year. What don't you understand about that?
She wasn't even a field agent. She was an analyst.
Here's my point, though. I think the show is 100 times better now that she's not working as an FBI agent. That she's been a fugitive on the run. And I think this show's been really good this season.
You still don't get to talk about it.
I approve.
We don't care.
Daddy like it.
All right. Ruin that.
Hey, Rob Lowe fans. You want a shot? You want a shot at Rob Lowe? What? I'm giving it to you. Your best shot. Take your best shot, Allie.
Like, hit him?
Yep. No.
Oh.
Get down there and break yourself off a little low.
I thought he was a married guy.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh.
Did you think he was offering an opportunity to get hit?
I wasn't sure.
Okay. Yes, I'm asking people to go down and punch Rob Lowe.
I don't support that.
Well, that wasn't what I was talking about.
Okay.
Rob Lowe's getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. The star, the 2,567th on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, is located right there in front of Musso and Frank's Grill on Hollywood Boulevard, one of my favorite restaurants of all time. And Fred Savage, his co-star from The Grinder, is going to be on hand to help induct him, as well as Gwyneth Paltrow, which I believe will be selling goop to the audience. She'll be out there with her bag of goop, just selling goop to people. I'm not sure what that is.
You watch The Grinder, Ruff?
I've seen a couple of them. Really
very
entertaining,
funny.
Yes.
Very funny. And Fred Savage is terrific on that show.
He's just a super talent. You know, everyone remembers him from Wonder Years as being sort of a kid star, but he's just gone on to graduate from college and become a really talented television director, just a great director. Had walked away from acting for a long time, and then they brought him back for this show, and he's really great. So, good stuff. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, December 8th. Drew Doughty, 26 years old today, from your Los Angeles Kings. Katie Stevens, Karma, from Faking It on MTV. She's 23. Nicki Minaj is 33. Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers turns 34 years old today. I was out sick yesterday, but was there any discussing of football yesterday? Did it come up at all?
It came up,
Nope.
I mean, we talked about the NFL, but there was no...
Nope.
Are you talking about...
Afternoon?
No.
The afternoon games were covered.
Not really.
Great depth.
There was Arizona, and there was Seattle. I think that was all we... And there was the Dolphins. Yeah. We talked about the Dolphins. That's about
it. Was it? We didn't talk about anything?
No, that's it. Sorry.
That's odd. Ian Somerhalder's 37 years old today. Don McMonaghan's 39. Corey Taylor of Slipknot fame turns 42. Sinead O'Connor is doing better these days. Apparently she is getting some help, which is good news after those scary things she posted on her Facebook page. 49 years old today. Terry Hatcher is 51. And Kim Basinger celebrates her 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, there's John and Lennon and Yoko Ono doing Happy Xmas. War is over.
That was Coldplay.
And that was, of course, produced by Phil Spector, and you just heard the rare one.
Oh, the rare one.
From John and Yoko.
Right.
Rare one that sounds
pretty
like Coldplay.
Cool. Got to hang out with Ringo a couple of nights ago. That was cool. Uh-huh. And Frank Sinatra Jr. is playing December 12th.
So wait a minute. Hold on. You talk about Ringo Starr and John Lennon and Frank Sinatra Jr.
God, I forget the name of the place, but... It's in LA Weekly.
Yeah, thanks for your update.
Look it up.
Not the Tehran Ballroom.
No.
No, not that. Tell us where else he's not playing, Rodney.
But anyway, we got Surfer Blood, Jen, coming up.
Good.
And then Kill My Croquette with Richie Ramone is playing on New Year's Eve.
You know where they're playing?
On the 31st.
Where?
Oh, the 31st. That New Year's Eve.
The
what?
Where?
Club in Tarzana. And then Metric is coming in February.
This is the concert update right here.
At the Hollywood Palladium.
Right.
Anyway, I'm out of here.
Oh, you are.
Got to cruise by, have that eyesore at the corner of Fairfax,
You have an eye sore?
And Wilshire.
Let's have that looked at.
Say? So I'll see you next week.
Some drops.
And here are the monkeys.
Oh, sure, of course. Okay. Sure.
What's he talking about with the eye sore at Fairfax and Wilshire? What is he... What's he even mean there?
The Peterson Automotive Museum?
I think he
Museum?
Means the Peterson, yeah. Because they've done they've completely redone the outside.
Oh,
of the
so he's upset
so
with the way it's
it.
Looking.
I doesn't like because it doesn't look like it did in the 80s. Now it looks like it's part of the 21st century.
Mm. I'm just glad that K-Rock is a station to go to if you want to know where Frank Sinatra Jr. is playing.
That's true.
Or not. Or not.
Because he can't remember.
You won't know if you listen to K-Rock.
Hey, we'll talk to Henry Rollins coming up later in the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, at 8:20, we're looking for your fan songs. Why do you need to go to both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas? Start getting together what you're going to be singing for us on the radio. We'll open up the phones for that at around 8:20 this morning. So that's all coming up here on K-Rock.
Is this the list that we tried to compile last year and couldn't do? Christmas songs, best Christmas songs?
Yes.
Was this the top three that we got five out of?
No, I think we tried to get a top five and we ended up with three or four. We never ended up agreeing on the top five.
Because here's the thing about Christmas music is that it's very divisive. Somebody's favorite Christmas song of all time just rubs another person the wrong way to the point where they hate it and never want to hear it again. It's very tough to get a consensus together when you're talking about holiday music.
And also, here's another problem. Bean.
Right. How am I
That's the
problem
the biggest
here.
Problem.
Right. Well, let's see. Let's just wait and see.
Because you like BS Christmas songs, and you're always the spanner in the works.
Yeah, but you're the guy who hates great Christmas songs, like Christmas Rapping by the Waitresses, for instance, which is universally adored.
Christmas Crapping, what I call it.
All right.
Drop the mic.
So we're gonna give our top three Christmas songs, best Christmas songs of all time, and then we're going to invite your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 right now to add to the list, amend the list, argue with the list. So what we're hoping to do within the next 15 to 20 minutes is actually put together a list that we can all be happy with of the top five greatest Christmas songs of all time. Kevin, why don't you go first on this?
All right. I would like to put one out there that I think we can all agree on.
What?
So maybe then we'll only have four left.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
This isn't like me because I don't like the old songs that are redone 700 times, but it really is Santa Claus Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen. I mean, really, that's got... Right, that has to be... You better watch out. You better not try. You better not bow down
till you walk. Yes!
Right?
Yes!
Right, Bean?
Look, I love...
Did we accomplish one? Come on
I
now.
Love The Boss. I love that song. It wouldn't be in my three favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Oh, dear God!
But... I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't be mad at that being in our top five. If we want to agree as a show that that's in our top five, I am comfortable with that.
Allie McKay?
I will reserve judgment and wait for your next two.
Oh, I was just trying
God.
To
Kevin,
put one
you're
out
right,
there.
And they're awful.
Thank you, Ralph Garman.
You did the right thing, and they're horrible.
Thank
Who's
you.
Who's they? You mean the girl is horrible.
You too.
I signed off on it.
I wouldn't choose it for mine, but I would be mad. Oh, the Emperor of Christmas has waved his magic scepter at us. Thank you, your lordship.
I agreed with it being in the top five. I was co-signing on Kevin's suggestion. I'm down with it. All right, what's your next one?
All right, my next one is because I just went and saw a movie the night before, which is a great stoner Christmas movie. And they have Run DMC in it.
Yep.
So you agree with Christmas and Hollis?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and stuffing macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees.
Come on now.
Yep.
Right?
Nah.
Cut, Ralph.
It's fine. But top five? It's
top
fine.
Five.
It's a fine little novelty song. You put that right next to... All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front
Teeth. Yeah. Heard it. Don't need it.
It's a novel. It's a cute little novelty. Oh, it's wacky because it's a Christmas song, but it's rap, and that's unexpected. But top five, nah.
All right, that's my second. And my third is one that was done for one of our Christmas albums by Linkin Park, and it's My December. This is my love that song.
So you're out of
top three.
Every
yep.
Christmas song ever recorded.
Yep.
That made your top three.
Correct, sir.
You are a miracle.
Huh.
Now, I also like Christmas Wrapping and some of the other songs, but that's my top three.
Christmas Crapping, that's what I call
right.
that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I covered that or yet.
No. Yeah, you've mentioned it.
All right, let's go to the girl next. Allie McKay, your top three favorite Christmas songs. And again, you can weigh in at 1-800-520-1067. Or if you'd like to text the Kevin Bean Show, don't forget, you can always text 2KROQ. That's 25767.
This should be rich.
Well, shockingly, Ralph, Christmas Wrapping is on my top three by The Waitresses.
Yeah, I'd like to be able to play that. Do you have another one in your top?
And then, I sure do.
Oh, Chip quit? Did Chip quit? Oh. Is she gone?
No, she ran to another room because somebody else is in the file, so I can't.
Oh, I see. Oh, I thought maybe there was an elf meeting she was missing. Maybe Santa put in the red alert and they all had to go somewhere to get on the sleigh.
Wasn't she just here playing songs
from
that
moments
file
ago,
3 minutes ago?
And she ran away. I don't blame her. I think she quit.
I don't have it.
We got nothing?
I can't play that song.
You can't play Christmas Wrapping.
I cannot write the second.
Ralph, but if what did you do? But how did you do this?
I've banished it from the world.
But, Allie, what are your other two songs that you'd like to put in?
Well, here's the thing with Christmas songs. One of the greatest Christmas songs of all time, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, is wonderful. But then who do you choose? It's been covered by a zillion bands. So instead, I go with a song that is just inherently theirs, and it is Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
I like it. Like, this is going well.
Really?
I think this is
Why
strong.
Are we not allowed really? To play Christmas songs anymore?
Well, the mandate came down, and we don't insult
For the love of God.
Who doesn't celebrate Christmas.
That sure would have been a lot more effective if that would have gone
our
right
machine
the
is broken. Literally, our machine is broken.
Well, I'm glad we got Linkin
so
Park.
So I can't.
Yeah, at least we got My December in. Because people needed a nap.
It won't change.
Maybe right. Maybe we should take a break.
They got cars, big as bars, they got rivers of gold. But the wind goes right through you, it's no place for the old. When you first took my hand on a cold Christmas Eve, you promised me Broadway was waiting for me.
All right. Well, we have that, which is
that
good.
That should be in our top five, by the way.
Absolutely.
That should be in our top five.
Okay.
So, can we hear Christmas Wrapping?
Chip, can we hear Christmas Wrapping? I mean, I think everybody pretty much knows
what that
song,
sounds
but...
like. Yeah,
no, I'd like to
sounds.
Hear it. No, just I mean, look
really
at Ralph as it plays.
So, Fairy Tale of New York, we got that. Yeah. I'd like to hear that over and over and over. Oh, wait a minute. That's what that song is. So I guess I could hear that if I listened to that song.
It actually tells a whole story.
Oh, I went down the street and I got my mail and then I saw some bills were there.
And she got cranberries.
And I went to go and I went to the store and I got some bread that I got in my car and I turned on the car and then I drove the car with steering wheel.
Do you have a third
rail? I stopped at the red light. Then I went when the light, it turned green and then I kept driving. F you!
What's your number one, Al?
Well, we weren't going in
or
order
another
number one,
top.
But another one of my top three. When my parents moved here from Boston, it was a huge deal that it was in the 70s at Christmas. So
okay.
I remember every single Christmas being woken up by the Beach Boys. So Little Saint Nick.
Ooh, Merry Christmas, Christmas comes this time each year.
You know we're talking top three, right?
Yeah.
Are you aware of what the segment's about?
Yeah.
My December, Little the Beach Boys? What the hell's going on?
Look, that lyric is Christmas comes this time each year.
And it does, right?
They're not lying.
It is
How
true.
Can you deny that?
They're not lying.
That is
Come
a true
can
statement.
We, can
That's
we
science.
At least agree Fairy Tale of New York, top five, for sure?
Yes.
Ralph?
I vote yes.
I think I put that in top five.
Yeah, I guess I'll give that top five.
I think I put that. Okay, so do we have two now?
Yes. For my
There's
vote, we've got Springsteen and the Pogues with Kristen McCall. Yes, I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
All right. We got to take a break. Then we'll continue. 1-800-520-1067, or you can text us at the number 2KROQ. I don't know if we're going to get a top five out of this. I don't even know if we're going to be able to hear any more of these Christmas songs the way it's going, but we'll try right after this on K-Rock.
I feel like this is going well so far.
I know you do. That's how you've been able to keep a career for so long, is you just tell yourself it's going well. We're trying to put together the top five best Christmas songs of all time list, and I think we've agreed as a group that Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen is going to make the cut.
Yes.
I think we have inducted Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues with Kristen McCall into the top five, correct?
Right. Yes.
I think if it weren't for Ralph, I think the rest of us would have Christmas Wrapping in the top five already.
Christmas Crapping is what I call it.
I'm going to read my list next, but let's take a couple quick calls because Rob is calling from Thousand Oaks, and he is speaking for a lot of people who are emailing and texting and Facebooking and the whole deal with this suggestion. Rob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Ralph, you good, sir, are epic.
Okay.
I just had to say that.
Thank you, sir.
my song is I'll Be Home for Christmas by Blink-182.
It's Christmas time again. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand. All year, I'm growing tired of all this Christmas cheer.
I'd put that in my top five.
I mean,
I would put that in.
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
It's a great, great choice.
So are you, so are you voting for it or no? I'm unclear on this.
Well, here's the problem is you can't put 20 songs in a top
right.
five.
That's right.
You know?
Right. So it's we only weird. Have two. We
it
have three
be a great
spots.
Song, but it can't be top five Christmas of all time.
Everything can't be top five. That's the problem. Thank you for the call, Rob. Let's try Tyler, line 7, Loma Linda, please. Tyler, we're talking about the greatest Christmas songs of all time. What needs to be in the top five?
What needs to be on there is Wham! Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, save me from tears, I give it to someone.
Say you should listen to that in an elevator. You should listen to that song. It's the only place.
Great song, Tyler. Don't let Ralph ruin it for
Ralph
you.
Ralph is the Grinch.
It's so flimsy. It's so flimsy.
It's so great. Flimsy the way it's wonderful. I hate it.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Tyler, you're awesome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you gave away your balls, too, apparently.
All right, I'm going to. I know that the first song that I'm going to suggest here.
I hate you so much.
Is going to be shot down. I know that you're going to
be.
Well,
then don't suggest.
Don't be bad. Don't be bad. Don't waste our time.
We only have two songs in the top five so far.
I don't expect this will make the top five, but in the interest of truthfulness, you asked my three favorite Christmas songs of all time, and I'm sorry, this is my number three from a little band I like to call the Chipmunks.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Unbelievable. I should just walk the F out of here in protest right
Christmas
now.
Christmas wrapping looking pretty good.
Right now. I swear to God you're doing that because you know it will get a reaction out of it. That's
are you insane?
You are
not, son of a bitch.
Not only do I love it.
You
not
don't
only,
love it.
I do love it.
You
not
don't.
Only do I love it.
No one loves it.
My iPhone alarm is set to go off to that song every morning at 4:20. That's the first thing I hear every single day of the year.
No wonder you're in such a terrible mood.
I love the Chipmunks.
Let this be the answer to everyone throughout the year who writes me, you're really hard on Bean sometimes. What's the problem? Why are you so upset? Now you know. This is everything.
Okay. There's no way that's in the top five. What else you got?
All right. My next suggestion is one that I think absolutely should be in the top five. And I know I've got the girls' vote. Let's see what you guys think about this one.
Agree.
Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, is the greatest Christmas song of the last 25 years, and I think absolutely deserves to be in our top five as a show.
Agree.
Ralph, your thoughts on Mariah Carey, please.
It's a great Christmas song.
Mm-hmm. Top five. Top five. We got Kevin. We got Allie. We got Bean.
You don't
have
me.
A little Ralph. I thought you were in.
I'll answer for Ralph. Yes.
I can't. I don't think I can go top five.
Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Dying to know Ralph's top three. What's your last one, Bean?
My last one. I don't think I'm going to have Ralph's vote on this, but it's another song.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas or some BS.
It's another song. This is my favorite Christmas song of all time.
Oh, for F's sake. This is what you play when you draw a warm bath and you open a freaking vein because no one loves you at Christmas.
Christmas time is here from the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Nothing says Christmas more than that song.
I feel like we'd have a better chance of getting a top five without being.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Hey, I brought up Mariah Carey, by the way.
It.
And that's a great, great suggestion.
I need Ralph's. I need Ralph's.
All right. Here's the reason I can't put Mariah Carey in the top five. It's because that song is completely derivative. It is sort of a parody version of the classic pop soul R&B Christmas songs from the Phil Spector album from the 60s.
Right. That's exactly what they were going for.
It's completely
yeah.
a rip-off. It's a complete
but it's
rip-off.
It's
except
not better
for that,
it's
at all.
Better.
Because when you hear...
Except for the part where it's better.
When you hear the real deal, Neil...
When you hear the G, the OG Christmas wall of sound from Phil Spector's amazing Christmas album from 1963, when you hear what Mariah Carey wanted to be, when you hear Darlene Love bring it with Please Come Home for Christmas, you'll know what I'm talking about. Hit it, Steve.
Steve is searching.
Why don't you sing a little for us while we
What's
wait?
Steve doing now?
Steve is searching. I had the first song up, Ralph. I didn't have the third one.
Well, the first song was Springsteen, Santa Claus is coming to town, so I think that one was covered. Yeah. I think we could move on from that.
Drummer Boys number two.
Right. But
this is going well.
What? We go,
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home is what we're looking for.
Usually we go from third to first. Usually we work our way up the list in a top three list. But
all right, what else you got,
Ralph?
Christmas is ruined.
Last year we only got four. I'm not even sure we're going to get that many this year.
Why are we so bad at this?
So far we have two.
Well, three if you count Mariah.
Well, we're not counting Mariah because I'm telling you, Darlene Love knocks Mariah out.
Not even a chance.
Oh, you're crazy.
Not even a chance.
You hate it because it's old, but this is
her version is better.
It's not a version. It's not a version, Kevin. It's a different song. You too did a version of Darlene Love's song, which is great, but I love the original version. You got to go back to the OG version.
And you really, I mean, and that's for top five?
Yes. It's one of the great rock and roll Christmas songs ever, along with Santa Claus, which I said with Springsteen. That was going in.
Okay.
And then I like me sometimes an old sentimental song, and you can't beat the mix of Bing Crosby and David Bowie doing Drummer Boy.
Peace on earth. Can it be? Years from now, perhaps we'll see
the great Christmas duets ever.
Our see the day of glory.
That's Draw the Warm Bath for me
bath is ready for me.
That's Draw the Warm Bath and Open a Vein. That blows.
How about if I do it like this? I got a drum and I went to the manger and then I played the drum for the baby. The baby was there and there were some camels and then three men showed up with stuff. Is that better?
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
We're out of time, but let's give Alec in Valencia the last word. He's on line 8. He's got one none of us mentioned in our list that may have to be seriously considered for top 5.
All right, Alec.
What's up, party people?
Well, we're not very good at coming up with top 5s. What do you got?
I think we can all agree on Santa Claus on a helicopter by Wings.
Santa Claus on the helicopter. Santa Claus on the helicopter.
Look, well, you can't deny that.
Whoa. Finally, someone making some goddamn sense in here.
Halsey joins us just after 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, ahead of this weekend's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That's going to be great. Also, comedian Rhys Darby later in the program as well.
Speaking of great guests, always fun to catch up with Henry Rollins, of course, musician, spoken word artist, activist, writer, DJ, and he is the star of a new film called He Never Died in theaters next Friday, December 18th. Hey, Henry, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, how are you, man?
Great to talk to you. Hey, can we get a ruling from you on Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, one of the greatest songs of all time, or no?
I don't know if I've ever heard it. I bet it's great.
That was a very diplomatic answer.
I bet it's great.
We were just having that conversation right before you came on, so I figured you're a musician and an expert and a thoughtful, smart guy, but you figured out a way out of it, so well done, sir. All right, let's talk about He Never Died. You've been acting for over 20 years, but this is your first ever lead role in a movie. How come?
I'm no great asset to any production, and so I get small parts that are, suited for me. But there's this one script where the fellow actually wrote it with me in mind. And I read it, and I jumped at it. I met the producer and the director, and I said, I'll be in this in a second. They said, well, great. And we got to work gathering the money, and about 11 months later, we were on set making it happen, and the film is finished. And it's about a man who has been alive for centuries. And it kind of flips the idea of your existence on its head in that all of us, to a certain degree, do everything we do with a sense of mortality, in that You better do this now. Why? Because one day I will be dead. And if you take that idea away, you think, well, I'll live forever. That's great. But maybe it's not. And poor Jack, that's the guy, me. Jack is extraordinarily bored of everything and everyone, and cynicism and a bit of melancholy has set in with eternity. And it's funny and horrific at the same time. That's why I went for the part so hard, because of the funny part of it. And, of course, the violence was irresistible.
As it always is. You know, that's such an interesting thing, because so many of us, I think, imagine, hey, I hope I get to live to be 100 years old and stay healthy and be able to enjoy the world, because no one wants to die, because life is precious and I only get one shot. And we all think it would be amazing to be immortal, but it's so interesting the way you describe that. I guess life would seem very monotonous if it's another Christmas and it's another Groundhog Day and it's another 4th of July, and you would just be so bored with the same thing over and over and over again, right?
Well, imagine someone who's been alive for centuries. They know a lot about war. They know a lot about the fact that humans can be very cruel as much as they can be wonderful. And you just have to walk around with the nightmare of humanity, like, you know, 9, 10, 1100 years worth, might not make you the happiest person. And maybe the fact that we do have an end date, it makes you strive to, you know, get up and get going. It does me. I want to achieve things all the time, knowing that, you know, it's not forever.
You deliver, as your character, a lot of lines in this movie that usually come with a lot of emotion. I Hate You is one that where you really have to have a lot of emotion to say it. And for you, it's just, you're bored. It's such a great delivery. Was that difficult?
Yes. I had 11 months to prepare for this part, and so I made notes about my notes, and I worked with the director, creator, very hard. And basically to Botox all of my emotions. And while Jack isn't necessarily cynical, he has been dulled by repetition. So when someone pulls a gun, his facial expression is blank, like, oh, a gun again. And he just reaches over and takes it, but because bullets are just an annoyance. You know, if he gets a shot in the head, if he doesn't extract the slug, he gets migraines later. And so everything is kind of boring. So when someone gives him a lot of, you know, mortal human grief, like, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, I know.
Heard it.
To be that deadpan for that long, what was it like once you finally wrapped? Were you like, oh, my God, I'm going to go so over the top with my emotions? Or did you kind of retain that a little bit?
No, it was just a breath of relief, because every human instinct you have is to react when someone comes at you, you know, with movie aggression, some guy with a fake gun, you want to go, okay, here we go, and you just can't do that. And so on off days, like on the weekend, we only did a 5-day shoot week, which is very humanitarian. I'm used to a 6-day shoot week with the budgeted films I'm on. Anyway, on the weekends, you could kind of exhale and go, oh, that's right. And then Monday, even before I'd go to the set, I'd be in my little condominium in Toronto, and I would just start deadening myself. And by the time I got to the set, hey, Henry, how's your weekend? Fine. Just because you're going to spend the whole day not being blasé, but just being over kind of any human instance. And it was a really weird thing to do over and over, especially like in violent scenes. I just tried to look bored and just kind of, well, bored, I guess, and mildly agitated, instead of being, like, you know, teeth bared and all that.
Sure. We're talking to Henry Rollins here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Again, the film is called He Never Died. It's available next Friday, and it's got a little horror in it. It's got some action in it. It's got a lot of humor in it. What's it like in 2016, or 2015, I guess, to make a movie like this? And by that, I mean, you hear so many stories about how the only things that you're able to get money for are superhero movies anymore. Was it tough going to get a modest budget together for a movie like this for adults, Henry?
Actually, it wasn't. And what I didn't think worked actually was the bait. Because I said, I'm in. They said, okay, we'll gather the money. I said, oh, so there'll be no movie. There's no money. And they said, no, we're going to just say that you're going to be in it. I said, right, there's never going to be a film. Like, we're going to get about $49, and I'll send that to you by PayPal tonight, and that'll be the budget. So I didn't think anyone would be interested, but they dangled my name out with the script, which is quite a good read, and they got their funding, which I was, I must say, I'm not down on the project, but I was really surprised it all came together, because quite often these cool ideas, they never get further than a few energetic phone calls and a few fun meetings. And this actually did come together, and we got the budget, and we made a good-looking, you know, hard-hitting indie feature that's really fun to watch. I've watched it a few times with audiences at different festivals, and to watch everyone laugh and cheer, like, wow, they got it. And it's been really fun. And it was also fun building the character from the ground up. The director gave me complete and total free rein to work in the micro idiosyncrasies of this guy, and I think I pulled it off.
You absolutely pulled it off. The film is really, really fun and unique and different from anything else that's out there this holiday season. Next Friday, December 18th, the film is called He Never Died. Henry Rollins, we don't talk to you often enough on the Kevin and Bean Show, but we always enjoy it when we do. Thanks for the time, sir.
All right, you guys. See ya. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
All right. We told you first thing this morning and throughout the day that we are looking for you to sing a song about why you want to go to both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 this weekend at the Forum. Now is your time to call 1-800-520-1067. It's your chance to prove a little bit of personality, a little bit of talent, a little bit of excitement, a little bit of energy. Ralph, you're a wacky guy who writes lots of little songs for
you're
our
a
show.
Wacky guy who writes songs.
I'm a wacky songwriter. That's on my business card.
What's your advice to our callers who are dialing up right now, who are nervous as crap about going on the air to try to win these tickets?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you guys are looking for. Is this an original song?
Yes.
Or can it be a parody of an established song?
Sure. Can you use a parody. Yeah.
That's what I would say. I would say use a simple melody from one of your favorite songs that you're very familiar with the rhythm of the lyrics to, and then you can write funny lyrics.
There you go.
All right. So sing a song. Sing and win your way into both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll be taking your calls just after 8. And then Halsey, one of the performers on the bill at the show this weekend, is going to be joining us next hour as well. First, though, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
First of all, I want to give a shout-out to all my my brothers there.
All your brothers?
All my Jewish brothers and sisters.
You're not Jewish.
I am during Hanukkah.
Oh, okay.
Because I want some presents, bitches.
Okay.
Festival of Lights, of course, is ongoing. Third night of Hanukkah tonight, I believe. Light the third
I think
candle.
So.
But I'm going to give a shout out to folks who are celebrating. Just brought to mind because Adam Sandler had a wacky Hanukkah party over the weekend. As you can imagine, he likes to get up and sing that song.
Sure does.
So in order to do that, he has to bribe his friends to come to a party. And then he gets up and goes, oh, crazy, oh, Jewish, oh, so Jewish crazy. He sings a song like that. It was quite the bash. It was an ice skating bowling party.
You ice skate and bowl at the same time?
I believe they're separate events.
Oh, that's too bad.
Games, foods for the kids, pizza, chicken fingers, Chinese buffet.
He knows how to live.
Right.
Pigs in a blanket.
Right.
Wait, you can't eat pork, can you?
No, I thought you couldn't. I thought that was part of the deal.
And the star-studded list of guests that were there. David Spade, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Taylor Lautner. Vanilla Ice performed, as did Gene Simmons of Kiss.
This party has everything.
You're mad-libbing this story.
This party had everything.
Wait, did you say Gene Simmons?
You heard me.
Yeah.
He's a crazy Kiss Jew.
Was Kevin James there with a very clean piece of glass?
I'm not sure. Kevin really missed out on a party there. Yeah, he would have enjoyed
it. It does sound like his kind of party, man.
Yeah. So, there you go. I got some sad news, too.
What's that?
Sylvester Stallone has announced he will not be acting in Rambo New Blood, the TV series. Will be an executive producer on the show, but he's decided not to participate. Actually, oh, wait a minute. Breaking news. In any way at all, he won't even be executive producing.
Oh.
But he did say, I wish the others well with the project. So apparently he doesn't hate on it, but he just has decided he's not going to participate.
And he gets paid, right? He created that character?
He didn't. That came from a novel, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't believe he's going to get any money from it if he doesn't participate.
He's probably all right money-wise.
Yeah. That's a tough sell, though, to sell a Rambo series without Rambo in
it. Yeah.
When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Over the weekend on Friday night, we did Hollywood Babylon, and we covered the story a little bit, and we played a clip from the forgotten 80s animated Rambo cartoon series for kids.
I didn't know that existed.
Oh, yeah. Rambo, Force of Freedom.
For kids.
And we were talking about Rambo and how it's got to be Stallone or else it's not Rambo. And then we played a clip of the cartoon, and the voice of the guy who did Rambo in the cartoon was like, "Don't worry, Colonel Trotman. I won't let that evil dictator take over the country. I will infiltrate it." It was just like that. Who's that guy in the headband talking like that? It was an awful cartoon. But without Stallone, it's just not Rambo, right? Although this is supposed to be about his son. Rambo New Blood is supposed to be about his son, J.R. So maybe they won't have dad be. Maybe dad will be referred to, but will not show up in the series. So sadness.
Kind of like how Supergirl is not about Superman.
Right.
Same world, different character.
Yes.
Do you think
we're confused?
Do you think that everyone is confused and still needs more clarification?
You're not aware of what you're trying to get at?
I'm still not following. See, Allie does it now.
Today's celebrity birthdays, all these stars born on December 8th. Drew Doughty from your Los Angeles Kings, he's 26 years old today. Nicki Minaj is 33. Phillip Rivers is 34. He's the quarterback for the San Diego Chargers. Ian Somerhalder, 37. Dominic Monaghan, his Lost co-star. They're buddies in San Bernardino.
That's not a good story, Ralph.
39 years old. Corey Taylor of Slipknot's 42. Sinead O'Connor's 49. Terry Hatcher, 51. And Kim Basinger celebrates her 62nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Big, big weekend. Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum. It's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Sold out both nights. And I think this is on the floor, right? Tickets on the floor?
Yep.
Is that what we're doing here?
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Giving you a chance right now at 1-800-520-1067. You can sing it to win it.
Kevin and me, sing it to win it.
All right. Where do you want to go first? Looks like we got a lot of takers here.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, you don't know how good they're going to be. Let's just start at the top. Let's start with Megan and San Dimas. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome to Sing It to Win It. What are you going to be singing, please?
I'm going to do a rendition of I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas for
you
guys.
There you go.
All right.
Here's Megan.
I'm dreaming of an almost acoustic Christmas where I can dance all night on the floor. See Bastille and Halsey and more. And hopefully Bean won't end up on the floor.
Fantastic finish. And I hope you are right, Megan. All right, hang on. You are in the drawing. Let's try Rosalie in Norwalk on line 2. Rosalie, is this true? You're going to be doing an original song for us?
Yes.
All right. All about how much you want to be with us this weekend at Acoustic Christmas. We are standing by. Good luck.
Okay. Do I go?
Yes.
Okay. I'm singing to win these tickets. It would be really great if I win them. It's a birthday gift from my sister to see her favorite band. And to K-Rock's Acoustic Christmas for the first time in person. Such as 21 Pilots, Panic at the Disco, her favorite Fall Out Boys. Let's not forget Halsey.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Rosalie. You're practically Kanye West. All right. Let's go to line 3 next. Nico is up.
Hey, Nico.
Hello. Hey.
Hi there. What song are you going
to sing? I'm going to do a remix of Once I Was 7 Years Old.
Okay.
Once I was 21 years old, I went to Acoustic Christmas and I had the time of my life. Once I was 21 years old.
I didn't
know I'm 22 years old.
All right.
I want to go again, but I got to win.
All right, I think we're out of here.
Dude, you had us at the whistle. Take it easy.
Yeah. You don't keep going when you nail us with the whistling, man. That was the best part. All right, well done, Nico. Hang on. You are still technically alive and in the drawing, but let's see how it goes. Eric and Glendale, line 4. He's up next.
All right. Hey, Eric.
Hey, folks. How you doing?
We are good.
Yeah, Eric.
Sing it to win it. What are you going to do?
Here you go.
K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. Give me tickets to that show. K-Rock Acoustic Christmas. Cute baby Jesus, do I want to go? All of my friends be laughing when I say I'm getting them ticks. Then please give me those tickets, and I'll hook you up with a bunch of chicks.
All right, that was the song that you sang on our air. Hang on, Eric. Let's go to our man Nestor Chino, line 5, please.
Nestor, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You're going to do a rap.
Yeah. I woke up early and I just came to my mind.
All right.
Sweet.
All right, so I got no beat, but I'll do my best.
No worries.
Yo, wake up in the morning, listen to Kevin and Bean. One guy who is green and another who can be mean. It is like the vision I have seen in my dreams where I go to Acoustic K-Rock Christmas. This is the only way it seems. I hope you understand. I need to see Andrew McMahon. If not, I have to see the video on demand. So please pick me. Go on and talk to Halsey.
Okay.
I like it.
All right.
Well done, Nestor. How about that? All right, we got time for a couple more, I think. How about Ashley Riverside, line 6?
All right. Hey, Ashley.
Hi.
Welcome to Sing It to Win It.
Ashley, you've heard your competition so far today. How are you feeling now?
I would like to say mad propsio to that last rap.
Mad propsio, indeed.
All right, mad propsio. All right, what song are you going to be doing? I understand you're doing a cover, right?
Yeah, I want to do X's and O's.
Okay. Good choice. Good luck.
Let's see if my trucker boys can do it. I only sing by myself, so this is embarrassing.
Here's this.
All right. Is it? This is my center over.
Yes. Sure, go ahead. You were 1 second in, but sure, go ahead.
Okay. This is my only way to win in almost acoustic Christmas. It is.
You rule.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very well done. All right, let's do one more. How about Studio City? Let's go to Ryan, line 7, please.
All right. Ryan, hi.
Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Sing It to Win It. What are you going to do?
A remix of Higher from Creed.
Oh.
Very appropriate.
Did you say Higher from Creed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Go for it.
Kevin and Bean, can you take me higher? I want to have sex you with Allie. Oh. Ralph Garman, I miss your sex university.
Please
take me to the Creature Christmas. Let us all win, Kevin Bean.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Good. That was an effort.
That was good. That guy did that.
Yeah.
I think he's looking for sex more than he's looking for tickets to the show, though.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, you guys. So we had Megan, who started us off with The White Christmas. Rosalie then did an original song. Nico did the 7 Years parody. Then we had the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from Eric. Nestor had the rap song. Ashley did X's and O's. And then we just heard from Ryan. My top two would be Nestor with his rap and Megan with her White Christmas. How about you guys?
Agreed.
Same, but I'm going to go Megan because she incorporated the artists as well as past Acoustic Christmas with Bean Falling.
Same.
Really? You guys like Megan?
Yep.
Let's go to Megan.
Megan.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Woo! Thank you so much.
Tickets for both nights on the floor. And leave space for Bean in case he needs to fall.
Okay, maybe I'll try to catch him.
Okay. Thank you for playing the game. Kevin and Bean, sing it to win it.
As you know, this weekend is the sold-out K-Rock Almost Christmas shows on Saturday and Sunday night. Of all the 22 great acts on the bill, only one of them is also playing a sold-out show at the Forum tonight, and she is in the studio with us right now. Halsey joins us on K-Rock.
Hey, Halsey, how are you? I'm good. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, especially thank you so much for coming in on game day. I can't believe you're actually working tonight. How long you been on the road with the weekend?
I've been out with Abel for like about a week now, a week of shows. Like, it's been obviously more with time in between, but I've been on tour since last October. So it's been about a little over a year, like a year and 2 months, and I don't end tour until August 13th. So.
Oh, my God.
Until next August. Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like that is a plan to destroy you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is just like a really, really, really long like murder attempt on me by my managers is what I think is going on right now. But no, I mean, it's funny. When I first started making music, you know, I never thought that I would be a touring act. That didn't seem in the cards for me, you know, given like the type of act that I was and the, and just the stereotypes that surround being like a female artist, being, you know, you think you're not going to be touring a lot. You're going to do like two big tours a year. And then, you know, it's going to be mostly radio. It's going to be mostly, I could not have been more wrong.
Really?
About any of that, because it was not like, yeah, radio game and like one tour. It was quite the opposite. It was a lot of rigorous touring. It was a lot of, you know, building a fan base. And, you know, radio didn't just like develop on its own. That was because I was building a fan base and I was, you know, going to cities where kids were then asking if they could hear the song on the radio. So,
Well, let me ask you about that, because when you were just another YouTube kid, were you doing that because you had this music that you wanted to make? You wanted to perform, you wanted the feedback on the internet, but in your mind, you never pictured, hey, one day I'm going to go out and sing these songs in front of people? Like, that wasn't a thing?
That's so funny that you say YouTube kid, because that's such a misconception about me that, like, I think that the media has kind of developed over, like, because, you know, I think there's a desire to pin someone's success from something, you know, whether it's, it came from YouTube or it came from Tumblr or it came from Vine or it came from wherever. And, you know, social media is obviously like, is triggering so many careers all over the country right now. And, you know, I've only ever had one successful video and it was a joke, you know what I mean? So it's like, my videos were getting 1,000 views at best. I think calling me a YouTuber would be doing a serious, serious discredit to people who are actually YouTubing. You
well,
know
I
what
apologize. I in no way
way
meant
to go,
for
Bean.
It to be, I in no way
oh,
meant for it to be dismissive.
Gonna leave.
Oh, no. I didn't. I just mean, like, you know, it's good actually that I got the opportunity to say that, you know, on air, especially because, like, I think a lot of people do have that misconception that I was like a quote unquote YouTuber, like a by definition YouTuber, which, you know, I really, really wasn't. I was using social media just like any other kid was. Like, I had a fair amount of followers on Tumblr, had a fair amount of, you know, subscribers on YouTube, fair amount of followers on Instagram, but, you know, I was using these social media like outlets the same way that any other 17, 18 year old kid was. You know,
would it be
fair
to say you were a SoundClouder, because wasn't that kind of a big break for you with the Ghost song?
Yeah, SoundCloud is definitely where it broke for me, because that's where I put Ghost up,
right?
And, you know, initially, and, you know, the next day we were in with like 5 different record companies, and so that was like a really, really bizarre thing. But, you know, back to your question, because I can kind of, like, you know, it still is totally valid, like the idea of like, did I want, you know, to be playing in front of these crowds? Like, did I want to be
right?
I don't think I had any idea. Like, my first show that I ever played, ever, besides like a showcase, was on tour with the Kooks.
Okay.
And I think I played the Wiltern.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's a huge place for your first show.
Yeah, that's crazy big.
You know, so like, I remember standing there backstage and your whole day's counting down hour by hour, minute by minute, and you get dressed. And you're thinking, oh, my makeup's not done, because you're stalling. And you're just like waiting and waiting and waiting, and then it's 10 minutes before stage, and it's 5 minutes before stage, and you're backstage, and you're thinking to yourself, what if I can't do this? Because I don't know.
That's frightening.
You know, there's all these label people who are like, yeah, you'll be fine. Right. You're resourceful.
Just
you got
it.
This. Just go out. Play the show. It's okay. And they're like, you can do it. And I'm thinking, there's a huge possibility that I cannot. I've never done this before. I could go out there and I could just suck. My in-ears could not work. I could not hear anything. I could panic over sensory overload because of all the noises. I could freak out. I could forget the words. I could fall off the stage. So many things could happen, and so many things could have happened.
Right.
Like someone's first show, you know what I mean?
But even if you went out and did great, you're still opening for somebody else. Did you get that extra pressure of, hey, all of these people aren't here to see me. They're here to see somebody else, the Kooks in that particular case.
I'm still getting that pressure. I'm opening up for The Weeknd right now, you know? It's like, it's when you go out and you play in an arena, like I just came off my headline tour, the Badlands tour, where I'm playing to kids screaming so loud every night that I walk off stage and I'm deaf for 15 minutes on average every night. My ears ring when I walk off stage. I'm like literally looking into having like unique in-ear monitors made that will filter out the crowd noise, because it's going to damage my ears. And no matter what my engineers do to fix it, they can't, because these kids are so galvanized.
Right.
They're so, you know, excited and engaged. And so, you know, when I walk out to tour, you know, to play with The Weeknd, the biggest thing that I need to remind myself is you better put your ego away. I don't care what screaming, you know, tour you've been on. There could be, you know, thousands of people in that crowd that are also my fan, who know my music and like my music, but they bought a ticket to see The Weeknd.
Right.
So that means tonight they are his fan. They are not my fan.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Going back to the Wiltern show, do you remember anything about it, or was it a blur?
Oh, I think my first tour was just blackouts.
Yeah.
Just like I'd walk off stage and people would be like, oh, I loved it when you did that thing. And I'd be like, I have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, no idea. Yeah, just complete blackout.
Did anyone tell you that you did something that they loved? And you went, I have to go back and look because it didn't.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. All the time. Yeah. And that's why I started kind of building like those little crowd moments that like people really, really like and look for, you know, because I like was forgetting I was doing them.
Well, now that you're, you know, so far into your career, do you now own the moments that you're on stage? Do you kind of take it all in now? Are you able to?
Yeah, I definitely do for sure. And I think that's one thing that people don't really realize about being an artist is that like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're all devoted to 1 hour of my day.
Right.
Yeah. I wake up in the morning and I, you know, I eat breakfast maybe. Like I do, you know, some interviews, I do whatever, eat lunch, and that's when I start getting ready. You know what I mean?
So it's all about focusing on that. Yeah, that you're on stage.
It's like, what do I eat for dinner? When can I eat dinner? I can't eat too close to stage. Can't eat anything that's going to make me sick. Okay, I need to do this. Can't do anything too, you know, strenuous, or I'm going to be too tired for stage. Need to be careful, like, blah, 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 blah. So, like, that 45 minutes to an hour and a half, whatever, that I'm on stage, my whole day is about that moment.
Right.
And then, like, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, when that hour's over, I'm like, I'm done. I'm checked out. Like, that's the climax of my day. Like, that's all I was here to do.
Gotta go to bed right now.
Yeah.
Do you ever have singing voice problems? Do you ever have that kind of sick or?
I'm pretty fortunate that I have a pretty consistent voice because, like I said, I've been touring, like, pretty rigorously. And we do, like, a lot of days on, a lot of days off. And I talk a lot.
Right.
Which is a problem.
You?
Which is obviously a problem.
No, but I'm saying, do you get sick and lose your voice? And is
Once in a while, I do. And when I do, they just boost you up with steroids. And the crazy thing about that as well is, like, you're not supposed to take steroids, like, at all, let alone, like, a couple times a year.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be getting, like, injections.
I think they're trying to kill you.
Yeah, I really agree. Sense. This is a really bizarre murder plan.
I'll see, blink twice if you need help.
But
all right, we have to take a quick break. Halsey is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, Badlands is out and has been for a few months now. Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. You were here at K-Rock a couple of months ago and performed live down the hall from this studio in the Red Bull Sound Space. And if it's okay with you, Halsey, we'd like to play a live recording of you from that session when we come back. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're crazy about the idea.
I'm thrilled about the idea. You guys are full of surprises today.
I mean, whatever happens next happens. Don't worry
about
it.
Yeah, okay.
That's all worth saying. More with our guests right after this at K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:38.
That is the voice of Halsey here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and the person of Halsey is in studio with us right now, in town for, among other things, a show with The Weeknd tonight at the Forum, and then this weekend you are going to be playing night number one, Saturday night at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. By the way, thank you for doing that. We're so happy to have you on the board that night.
It's gosh, super, thank you guys for having me. Thank you guys for listening.
You mentioned, right as the song was ending, we were talking off air, you mentioned your friend Justin Bieber. How did that happen?
You guys really got to put me on the spot like that.
it's a fascinating story. I'm so interested in how you two ended up collaborating.
I mean, it's definitely interesting in multiple facets. I mean, for one, I'm one of the first female collaborations he's done ever, let alone in a while. He did Nicki Minaj, and you know, there's not many other. I can't even think of any offhand actually that he's done other female collaborations. And then you know, for me to be like a relatively obscure artists and in, you know, a much different genre, you know, they reached out and, you know,
he just a fan and said, hey, can you call her and see if she'd work with me?
Yeah, that's literally all that happened.
When they call, were you like, okay.
Well, here's the thing is I thought that someone was messing with me because like for a while, like, and I don't think anymore because I think that he's, you know, he's really proven himself. But for a while, if you wanted to make a joke in the music industry, the most bizarre like joke you could make was like, who's on the phone? Oh, it's Justin Bieber. And you're like, haha, very funny. Who's on the phone? You know what I mean? So when someone goes like, who's on the phone? And they say Justin Bieber. And I go, haha, very funny. And they're like, no, seriously, it's Justin Bieber. And I'm like, am I being punked? Like, I don't know what's going on.
You pick up, go, seriously, who is this?
Yeah, basically at that point. And they're like, yeah, he wants to do a song with you. And I was like, me? Why? Like, I was like, why? Like, I couldn't even, like, begin to understand why. But, you know, I think that it worked out in a cool way because it's like, you know, a little bit more pop leaning than I'm used to, a little more alternative leaning than he's used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really, really good marriage
good
of
song.
Our styles. Thank you.
That's a good song. Nothing to be embarrassed about. And you performed with him on the Today Show. I saw that. I mean, that was fun, right?
That was interesting. My God. Yeah, that was a really weird
because Lauer, of the Believers, right? Just because it's so crazy.
We had never performed the song together before.
Until
ever
that day
until
on the Today
Show
sound
check.
Oh, good Lord.
And so, because we were like, I was like, hey, do you want to rehearse? And he was like, nah. And I was like, okay. Like,
oh, no.
No, I think it was a really positive thing. It sounds really irresponsible, but I think.
Fine, don't worry.
I was terrified.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. That was like the most organic response I could have given you.
No
just
worries.
That. I was shaking in my boots. You know what I mean? Like, live television, there's 5,000 young girls around me, and I need to perform a song with Justin Bieber, and. I think my little brother's watching at home. I don't know what's going on.
Did you get hate from the Belieber girls because you were on stage with their boyfriend?
I think I wouldn't have if he didn't try to kiss me. But, like, and again, it was just, like, it was really in the moment. And we were both, like, there was just a lot of, like, tension in the air. And it was, like, freezing outside. There's so many people watching us. We'd never performed this song before. It's a love song. You know what I mean? Like, I've never done a collaboration before. He hasn't done a female collaboration in a while. And, like, there's just so much, like, energy in the performance that I was just, like, that was actually one of those moments where I walked off stage and was, like, I love music. Because this was such a real,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Such a real experience.
I was just going to ask you, is it that terror that you are drawn to sometimes?
I think so. I think that's what it was too as well, is that, you know, everyone said that there was something inherently sexual about our performance. And, you know, I don't think we went into it being like, cool, we're going to like flirt with each other
up
on TV.
Then it wouldn't have worked.
Like, no, if we had planned that, it wouldn't have. But I think that there was a sense of terror that was like, and you know, fear can sometimes be really like attractive. You know what I mean? And that definitely like inspired that, I think for sure. But, you know, I definitely want to switch it up now with my next collaboration. I need to go like the opposite end of the spectrum. I have like Justin Bieber, and then my next collaboration is going to be like
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, or like Courtney Love or something like crazy. You know what I mean? Like something super on the other end.
This is the voice of Halsey here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The album's out now called Badlands. How tough was it for you to learn how to write songs, Halsey?
I don't think I ever really learned. I think actually... Honestly, the toughest thing I ever did was learn how to write a song. Like, meaning the worst thing I ever did was learn. Like,
I don't know what that means.
When I first started writing, I was so uninhibited. I was so unrestricted. There was no censorship. I wasn't catering to anything. I didn't know about the formula of songwriting. Like, I unfortunately am a person that, like, I'm super into science. And not, like, science meaning, like, biology, genetics, chemistry. Like, meaning I'm super into, like, sociology, psychology. I like people. I like the human condition. And that's why I'm a writer. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so what that means more often than that is I look for patterns. And I pick up on patterns very quickly, which ended up being a really negative thing to me as a songwriter, because I started picking up patterns in songwriting, realizing, you know, what patterns were in a hit, what patterns were in, you know, whether it's the key, whether it's the structure, whether it's the bridge structure, and picking up on that was the worst thing that ever happened to me, because it made my music so much less, you know, organic. And so the best, what I had to do, honestly, was just stop writing for a while.
Stop writing music so that you don't start noticing patterns in other people's music.
Picking up bad habits.
So that you can do your own thing.
Yeah, or just like making a routine, sitting down and being like, all right, cool, so this is literally a stencil. You know what I mean? You start to get into a stencil where you're like, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge, verse, pre-chorus, chorus.
Well, if you listen to most pop radio, it sounds like everybody's operating out of the same playbook.
Which they are. Mm-hmm. Which they absolutely are. You know what I mean? And it's because, you know, but why not? If they can notice something that they know is going to guarantee them a hit, they might as well tap into that. You know what I mean?
But I would think as a young songwriter, that might comfort you a little bit.
Not
really,
though.
It doesn't sound like in your case.
I think she's a different kind of breed, this one. Yeah.
No, I don't know if it's necessary that I'm special or that I'm different or anything like that. I think it's just that I've had people telling me for so long, like in, you know, the conception of this, that the thing that they kind of like the most is that uninhibited nature of my music. Is like, the best way I've heard people describe it is saying that they feel like every time they hear me sing a song, they feel like it just happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel like I'm writing it as if it just happened to me.
That's a real compliment.
Which is it's a true compliment. And, you know, if I start, you know, diverging into patterns and formulas and whatever else, then, like, am I a good songwriter? Probably. But am I a good artist? No.
Are you fearful in any way that the more popular you get, the more inhibited you might have to become?
Yeah, I do. But I also think that the fear goes both ways in the sense that, like, I think there's definitely a pressure to do things that are a little bit more structured, a little bit more, like, digestible, accessible, you know, moving forward, especially as my fan base starts to grow, as it has exponentially
right.
this year. You know what I mean? Like, I put my album out and 2 months later sold out Madison Square Garden. Like, I'm not tooting my own horn over here. That's
no, that's
just
insanity,
craziness.
And it happened, yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, but I think at the other, on the other end of the spectrum, there's also this fear that's like, I need to make this album even weirder. Because people are going to be so quick to say, oh, you sold out, oh, you sold out, oh, you sold out, oh, you sold out. So now, like, I'm like, shaking because I'm like, oh, boy. So it needs to be super weird and weird enough that I didn't sell out, but digestible enough that everybody still likes it. Okay, cool. So what that means is I'm not going to listen to either of those things.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go write an album. Because if I focused on either of those things, I would actually drive myself crazy. And then what's the point of making art? What am I doing?
I'm feeling anxious just hearing you describe what you're doing. I'm not even involved in it, and you're making me nervous.
Is there ever a time after you've written a song where you listen to it later and then go, okay, I don't like that because of any of the reasons you just mentioned?
Actually, yeah. There's been a few. Like, I can think of three songs offhand, like, that won't see the light of day because I walked away from the studio, and whether it was like a poor co-write, whether I wasn't feeling confident enough to like push for what I really wanted with the song, mm-hmm. or whether, like, you know, meaning like the production wise, or like whether I was being polite and taking someone else's idea too far into account, which you can't do if you're a writer. Yeah. You just need to be mean. You just have to. It's unfortunate, but it's how you protect your art. And, you know, so there's songs I can think of offhand that I'm in the studio and I'm like, yeah, this is good. And then I get home and I listen to it and I'm like, why did I let him convince me to say baby? I would never sing baby. Like, why? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll come with a song where I'm like, hey, baby, and I'm like, I don't say baby. Like, why the hell would I put that in there? Yeah, so there's definitely those moments. But the best songs and the ones that made the record and the ones that I continue to love and continue to listen to are those songs that were organic. Those songs that I feel like just kind of like spit up out of me, you know. And I was staring at this piece of paper, looking at, you know, this thing, going, "Oh my gosh, I love whatever this is. I don't know what it is, but we're gonna make it work," you know. And that's the craziest thing about it. I would say that the weirdest thing about being an artist, and the thing that I think drives most musicians crazy, is that we have a very, very unique ability that a lot of other people don't have, and that's the ability to manifest yourself into something that you can look at. You can look at yourself as if you are a stranger. You can look at yourself from a third party and sense that I spit myself up into an album, and now I can look at myself.
You keep saying spit up. I don't think that's a good...
that's how it feels like to me, because it really is such an involuntary... Like,
right.
It almost really does feel like I'm like... It's like an exorcism, you know what I mean? Like, open my mouth, the songs come like flying out of me like a plague of moths. Like, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Well, this is this has been fun, and if we can figure out a way to get you to come out of your shell a little bit, you can actually get some conversation going here. I apologize to the many people who have sent in questions that we're going to run out of time for, but maybe we'll have a revisit in 2016. We can spend some more time with you, Halsey. But we'll see you this weekend too.
Absolutely.
So congratulations on all your success. An outstanding album, Badlands. It's available everywhere. Don't just stream it. Go ahead and buy it. Give the woman a dollar, all right?
Thank you.
Have fun with the weekend tonight, and we will see you on night number one this Saturday night at the Forum. Thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much.
And it is 8:53.
Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. And then comedian, writer, actor Rhys Darby joins us in studio just after 9 o'clock. How about that, you guys?
Very excited.
He's the best.
And I also think if we're going to have time, I think we're going to do the top 10 moments with
for
the
like
Kevin Bean Show.
No, I think we have a
for the
ton
whole
of time.
Calendar year, which is always one of our most fun segments of the whole year. So both of those things coming up. First, though, what's going on in the Showbiz Beat?
Just nothing but sad news.
Why?
What?
Just one sad story after another.
No, we're all having fun here, Ralph.
Nope.
We don't want sadness.
Sorry. I don't like it either. But what kind of newsman would I be if I didn't bring you the hard truths of the world?
You're not a newsman.
I am.
At all.
I am.
Really.
I'm the Cronkite of my generation.
You're just
some,
not Lord.
Some have said that I am
no
the
one has said whatever you're
generation.
About to say. No one has said that.
Some people have said I am the Cronkite of my generation.
You've said that.
Just
a couple
now.
Times
I
now.
Haven't said that. But some have said.
No one has said that. Zero
some
people.
Some have said.
No, none have said.
That I am the Phil Cronkite of my generation. He was a
Phil Cronkite.
He was
okay,
a butcher
oh.
in
I
the
see.
Valley
okay.
on Ventura.
We thought you were talking about the newscast.
No. That'd be ridiculous.
Okay, good.
Maruchia Mendeli has passed, and I don't know how we're going to recover.
Or who he is.
Maruchia
Mandeli, first of all, was a woman.
Sure. And a good one.
And a great one.
Uh-huh. And she will be missed.
She did great work. She passed away at the age of 90.
Oh.
Oh, so soon.
She invented hot pants.
Ah.
Hot pants. Let me tell you a little something about hot pants. You smug bastard.
That was over there sentence in your face. A sentence that was just said on the Kevin Bean Show is, let me tell you a little something about hot pants.
Just do yourself a Google search for hot pants. Then just unbuckle and enjoy yourself.
Oh, oh wow.
Hey, now.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
And we have Maruchia Mandeli to thank for that.
Okay.
There would be no NFL cheerleaders without the hot pant, by the way. Hot pant, is that singular?
What are hot pants? Like think... Daisy Dukes, but pants?
Way before the Daisy Dukes.
But I'm trying to help our listeners who don't know.
Hot pants are the shortest shorts you can possibly imagine.
Okay.
And they were delicious. And she also came up with the micro skirt. Not the mini skirt. Whatever. Yeah. Micro
she
skirt.
She laughs at your mini skirt.
It was a belt, basically. That's what it was.
Well.
She was awesome, and we loved her, and she's gone.
She's a pioneer.
One. She is a pioneer.
Two. One, two, three. Right? Get up in the hot pants. Put on the hot pants. Move. Then take off the hot pants. Ooh. Crawl in the hot pants.
I hope they play that at her funeral, Ralph.
They better.
Oh, God.
So, that's sad. Then, as if that wasn't bad enough, Neil Peart. Drummer for Rush, Neil Peart.
Peart.
Is retiring.
No!
How can there be Rush with no Neil? Without him and his giant gong.
Oh.
He had a big gong behind his drum set.
Oh, okay.
That's not what...
He had one of the biggest drum sets in rock and roll history. It was like 105 drums. He played like two of them. But it looked really cool on stage. How can... Come on! Rush! Come on, Neil. Give me.
Three drums
right there. Bang, 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 bang. Yeah, it's just sad news. That's the sad news.
Well, they just had a big, 40th anniversary tour or something like that? Was that a farewell or
saying goodbye? No, but his daughter Olivia has been introducing him to her friends as my dad, a retired drummer. Neil says, true to say, funny to hear. Does not pain me to realize that, like all athletes, there comes a time to take yourself out of the game.
We're talking about Neil Peart.
Peart.
I don't think it's Neil Peart.
It's definitely Neil Peart.
Well, who says that?
Him?
And you. Two people in the world say Peart.
Okay, well,
well,
if he
I was
says
watching
it.
Neil Peart on the drums the other day.
It's Neil Peart.
It was fantastic. Neil Peart.
Neil Peart is his name.
Well, we're talking about.
Well, here's what you should do.
Yeah?
Kill yourself.
There you go, Allie. There's okay. A suggestion from one of our listeners.
Want to be correct.
And Ron Wood. Am I saying that correctly? Ron Wood?
Yes.
Is that sure, Allie?
Yeah.
Is it Rolling Stones?
Say it again.
Here's an old guy's not retiring. Ron Wood's not freaking retiring. He's not retiring.
Is he still alive even?
He is, and he's not retiring. You know why? Just announced. At 68 years old, going to be the dad of twins.
Oh,
yeah!
God!
Yep.
Wow.
His wife is due in June of 2016. His 37-year-old wife will be giving birth to twins in
what
June
I love about this story is that 37 is too old to have twins. That's the wife. He's 68.
I don't know if 37 is too old to have twins.
It's pretty old.
It's actually becoming more the norm.
Yeah.
But he is going to go on tour about June, I imagine. Right?
Yeah, I imagine
full
will.
Time.
With Neil Peart. Neil Peart will come with him.
Neil Peart.
Maybe Neil Peart will come with him and he can go on stage.
But you're talking about Neil Peart.
Neil Peart.
Neil Peart will come with you.
Ah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These people were all born today, December the 8th. Speaking of December 8th, I get a lot of emails, surprisingly, from people saying, what, no mention about John Lennon? I'm like, it's not really news.
Yeah.
It has been 35 years, I want to say, since his passing, and we all miss him, and he was a great, he was a legend as an artist and as a songwriter and a singer and a rock and roll icon, for God's sakes. But 35 years later, I think we're all used to the idea now that he's gone.
I'd like to hear some more of your listener impression.
Winnie Man, you're pure.
Pure. Pert, though, right?
Pure.
So, of course, we honor and salute John Lennon's memory, but I just didn't think it was necessary to talk about in every showbiz being, right?
Agreed.
Yeah. So, December 8th, these folks were born. Katie Stevens, she plays Karma on Faking It. She's 23 years old. Drew Doughty's 26 years old. Nicki Minaj is 33. Philip Rivers, QB for the San Diego Chargers, is 34 years old. You got that big Chargers-Dolphins game coming up, don't you, Chip?
Yep.
When is that? This weekend? Next weekend?
The 20th.
So not this coming weekend, but the following. Well,
next week is Giants.
Oh, Giants.
Yeah. Yeah,
hopefully they'll blow a lead in the fourth quarter for you.
You poor little bastard.
Ian Somerhalder is 37 years old today. His Lost co-star Dominic Monaghan is 39. Corey Taylor, Slipknot singer, is 42. Sinead O'Connor's 49, Terry Hatcher 51, and Kim Basinger celebrates her 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Jeff Nall from Costa Mesa. Thank you so much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You will be on the floor for both nights of the Sold Out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Forum. Your chance to win your tickets are coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend Reese Darby back on the studio. Hey, Reese, how are you, man?
Hello. Sorry I've been away for so long. I was busy.
We haven't had you on for a year and a half, Reese. That is unacceptable, my friend.
I'm sorry. I had a lot of things to do around the house.
Well, how have you been? What's going on? Bring us up to speed.
Well, you know, this and that.
Right. Go on.
What's new? I've got nothing.
You have nothing.
I don't even know why I'm here.
Actually, I can answer that. You are here because you have your final Los Angeles show of the year tonight at the Largo.
Right.
What is Reese Darby's Saying Funny Things Society?
Well, look, this is a show. I used to do stand-up 5 nights a week. And when I lived in the UK, sometimes I do 3 shows a night. It was crazy. But it was the only money I was earning. It was tough, but these days, of course, you know, things are going well, and so I do probably one show every so often, and it wasn't enough for me. I was missing it, so I decided to get some sort of a residency going at the Largo. Luckily,
and so they give you like $1 million a week.
Yeah, so I get $1 million a week,
right?
to continue doing nothing,
to bring out other people to be funny.
Yeah.
Once a month,
I'll do a show there, and this is the last one of the year. I've done a few, and what it is, it's an exciting show because it's not just stand-up. I put in there's sketch, there's music, and there's what I call the discussion group. So at the end of the show, I get all the acts onto the stage, and there's 3 of them there with me, and I've got a spinning wheel with subjects on it, all things that I'm into.
Okay.
Nothing that they're into, but they do.
I like it.
And then I spin it, and then whatever it lands on, we discuss, and so it's just open banter. And that's the best part of the show, because comics or artists are just sitting there talking off the cuff of their dome.
What are some of the topics?
Do they have
the
a
wheel?
Cuff of their dome?
Sure.
Have a cuff?
Well, his does. That's actually on the wheel. Right? Cuff domes?
Well, cuff domes is one of the subjects, yes. other subjects on the wheel. Hollow Earth theory.
Oh.
Alien moon base.
Wow.
My mum.
Okay. Your mom. So you have everybody on stage talk about your mom.
Yeah, well, that one hasn't come up yet.
No, I see. Okay.
But maybe tonight's the night.
You never know,
so,
right?
I've got a lot on my mum.
Well,
that's M-U-M, by the way, not M-O-M.
Sorry, I said it wrong. I apologize.
I love that the topics are all for you, though, and that they're, like, if it's facts about New Zealand, that's an easy one for you, but that might be tougher, you know, Marilyn Rice could, tonight, for instance.
That's right. Now, there's the facts of New Zealand is one of them. But, yeah, it quite often lands on hollow earth theory.
It's interesting that would be
dinosaurs.
What you want to go back to.
So, so once you do hollow earth theory, you don't take it off the wheel? It stays on the wheel?
No, it stays on there.
Okay.
Just,
if I, Then you have a whole another.
I find I'm not getting a repeat audience.
Yeah. Okay.
Every month I come and I say, well, who came last month? And not a single person. And it's really getting my goat. And numbers are dwindling. Mm. So this is the final show of the year.
Now, the Largo holds like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. 10,000 tiny people.
Okay, all right.
Doubled up in seats.
Elves, okay.
But, yeah, it's a decent-sized room, but there's two rooms, you know, so I don't know which one I'll choose tonight. If numbers are down, I'll go for the small room and sell it out. Okay. If numbers are big, I might go for the small room as well and sell it out.
But why both to the smaller room and sell it out?
What's that?
I
like sending people away.
You
know, there's nothing better than and hearing people go, oh, I couldn't get in, even though I bought a ticket.
That is fun for everyone.
Largo-LA.com if you want to be there tonight at 8:30 for Reese's show. Let me ask you about a couple of acting things since the last time we had you in. First of all, loved your brief appearance on Life in Pieces. That was very funny. You were the breast milk doctor, which was very, very funny. We hear that you are going to be in the X-Files series on Netflix next year, and that doesn't seem that seems like a misprint or a typo or something. That can't be right.
It was bizarre, but yes, that's true. I do a lot of big auditions. I think the last time I saw you guys, I don't know whether I had spoken to you of some of the auditions I'd done. I auditioned for True Detective.
Oh, okay.
Imagine me in that.
Yeah.
And so
maybe that. Okay.
Well, they couldn't imagine it either. I didn't get it.
They were like, we don't see that.
Yeah, I did Fargo. I auditioned for that one. Couldn't do the voice, you know.
No. That's,
I said,
that's
what about
accent.
My voice? I said, no. I said, all right, well.
You make a lot of ill-advised moves
you.
In your career. I feel
like. But X-Files, that's huge.
So when X-Files came around, I thought, oh, here we go again, another waste of time audition. Mm-hmm. But I got in there, and of course, it's perfect. If anyone knows me, the paranormal is my genre.
You love it.
It's my bag. So I went in there with high hopes.
It's my bag.
And the chap said, yep, you're the one.
So what are you playing, and do you have any scenes with either Mulder or
Scully? Oh, yes. I can't reveal too much, obviously, because the truth isn't out here yet. and I don't want to, spoil it. But it's a big role in one episode. There's only six episodes.
Right.
So one of them's about me. And I do.
You're the focus of one whole episode.
I'm a full focus.
Fantastic. Okay.
Full Derby focus.
All right.
So
dream come true.
It's a dream come true. I tell you, it was daunting because, you know, obviously some of these episodes are comedic, but you don't know, but not many. A lot of them are just very fear mongering, you know, quite scary, and I didn't know, quite dramatic, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into there. But luckily, I could be funny, so that was really cool and also scary, and I'd like to reveal more, but I was...
What else do you do?
Well, I...
Reveal
I,
more.
Okay, one more thing.
Okay. Just say it. Out with it. Say it.
My pants.
Anal probe?
Something happens with my pants.
Something
That's it!
I've
said too much!
Pants.
I have said too much!
Something happens with your pants.
Okay. Mm.
Taxi!
Right. Go on.
He's down! He's down! There's a rope! Get on it! Okay.
And Reese Darby was our guest. He's gone now.
You're the strangest person that we've ever met. And that is a compliment.
He's a man. He's a man. He's a man drowning and drowning. I'm fine. He's fine, everyone.
He's fine. That's good news.
It was only waist deep. He didn't realize it. Oh, it's waist deep. Sorry. I'm fine.
I hope that's on the wheel. Somehow that's on the wheel tonight.
Yeah, sound effects. It's on
I
the
like
wheel.
It.
So if it
what's, your most, what's your most famous sound effect that everybody, they won't let you leave without doing it?
The robot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that from your stand-up show.
Remember that
robot
one?
Is great. Yeah.
Helicopter's big. Obviously, my dinosaur impressions are back in fashion now.
Sure.
With the
Jurassic World, yeah.
Yeah, Jurassic World. Now, Star Wars on the way, so obviously I'm getting out my lightsabers. People are excited about that.
Oh, oh. Can we hear a little lightsaber, Reese?
Ah, leave it!
for that, Dad.
Thanks for that, Dad.
Spoiler alert.
And look, other news tonight. I'm going to do a world first. I'm going to do a live GIF. Now, I've talked about it on Twitter. I do homemade GIFs, you see.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to do my first live homemade GIF.
So someone will hold their phone up to the stage and you will just do whatever you need to do to make a GIF?
Well, I'm not going to reveal it.
Okay.
But there's
got a lot of secrets, man.
To do with my pants.
Okay.
Again, the pants.
Again, with the pants. Okay.
It all seems to center around the pants.
It is Reese Darby's Saying Funny Things Society, the final L.A. show of the year. Special guests include the very talented and funny Marilyn Rice Cup. You can buy tickets right now at largo-la.com. Showtime, 8:30 at the Largo. Sounds like a lot of fun. Reese, let's not make it another year and a half.
I'm sorry.
Come in, okay?
Don't be so busy with your housework.
Yeah, I'm giving up the housework now. I'll be back on a regular basis.
Sounds great. Well, thanks, Reese.
Not thanks.
That often, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:44.
See, around this time of the year, you don't really get a lot of new music, unfortunately.
So why?
But wait till after, New Year's, music will start coming back in again, brand new stuff. Mm-hmm. But every now and then, I get stuff in the mail. And if you do send me CDs or anything, make sure it is on a CD.
All right.
None of that looking up on the computer and calling it out and all that. Ugh. It's got to be on an actual CD.
Actual.
And no four-letter words.
Right.
Or anything like that. Keep it clean. Mm-hmm. And here are the Monkees.
So
will he not listen to a song if it's got a curse word in it?
Nope. Not only that... This digital distribution thing is a fluke. No, that's not the way.
Looking up on the computer thing.
On the computer. You know how it is. You got to dial into AOL and then download a song.
You got to throw some more wood in there. You got to get the steam built up so the engine turns.
Well, first you got to wait till your mom gets off the phone before you can even make the call to get online. And then imagine how long it takes to download a song. Do you know how many bands are making songs that don't even know what CDs are? Like, wait, we have to put it on what to send it in, Rodney?
That's vinyl. He'll take vinyl, right?
I doubt it.
Cassettes?
He said CD, man. But
just CDs?
I don't know.
Well, cassettes was the 80s.
I feel like he's stuck.
Hey, 9:45, quick programming note just ahead of Ralph's Showbiz Beat, and that is our producer Dave informs us that as they are getting the stage details together for Acoustic Christmas this weekend, they are finding a little more room in some cracks and crevices, so they are making some more seats available for you.
So if you want to sit in a crack or a crevice.
Or a crevice.
Right. Look, I'm not saying
I don't think that's the case, Pete. I think you can actually stand on the floor.
I think they're just seats and standing.
Standing
areas.
Room.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That they know they have now that they didn't know they had before. That's all.
All right. So if you tried to buy tickets for either night and it was not possible because it was sold out at the time, I guess what we're saying is go to Ticketmaster again and try the K-Rock Almost Christmas this weekend. You might have better luck. So... do that if you want. All right, time for the final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You can pick, when you go to Ticketmaster, you can click on cracks, crevices, or best available, I think. Those are your choices when you get the tickets. You make it sound like you're sitting on a Thomas's English muffin.
Well, he doesn't. There's a nook available and maybe a cranny.
He doesn't sell things well sometimes.
No, I think he's strong. Speaking of stuff and tickets and selling, let me give you a little something, because you seem nice. You.
Me?
You in the car listening to the show. Or at in your work or home. Or you. I'm talking to you.
Me.
The one with the... Not you. Them.
Okay.
Me? Not you.
Please.
I can't even see you. Why would I talk to you? I've got tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Point Break.
Yeah!
And you're saying to me, wait, Point Break. Wasn't that a movie with Keanu Reeves and Roadhouse?
Patrick Swayze.
A while ago? Sure, yes, but this is the new reimagining of Point Break. This is the extreme Point Break. This is extreme sports Point Break. Best line in the movie. I believe that the perpetrators are, much like myself, extreme athletes, says the FBI agent.
That happened.
You want to see it? Give me a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number get to see the red carpet premiere of Point Break at the TCL Chinese Theater on December the 15th. Movies in theaters everywhere on Christmas Day, but you'll see it before anybody else. Teresa Palmer's in it. Edgar Ramirez, great cast. Point Break.
Where can people go to get information and be, you know, turn the ignorance around?
All right, let's turn the ignorance around. You can go to pointbreakmovie.com to get the information and to turn the ignorance around.
Excuse me, sir. Can I get your thoughts about all the honeybees dying off?
Well, here's my thing about honeybees.
Well,
don't care.
Well, tomorrow we're going to do the top 10 interview highlights from Beer Mug. So we're looking forward to that. We're pulling
speaking of top 10, we just played the top 10 moments with. A lot of angry emails I'm getting. Tweets, emails, business line is ringing up off the hook. What about Kevin and the groceries? Do you remember the groceries?
Kevin and the groceries.
The groceries.
Someone bagged somebody's groceries, some celebrity's groceries. It was Beer Mug, I think.
What?
Bagged, was working at a Vons or something, and he bagged somebody's groceries, and he told a story. It was like a celebrity run-in that Beer Mug had, I believe.
I don't
it was.
Even remember this.
It was. It stayed with a lot of people, apparently.
We don't need you.
Yeah, I do. What was the story?
Now.
It was the old lady from The Wedding Singer, the Rapping Granny.
You're right. Yes. And you carried her groceries to her car.
Yes, and she tipped me $100.
That's right. Oh. And we were talking about, she had just passed. We were talking about her passing in the Showbiz Beat, and Beer Mug brought in that story, and I thought it was pretty interesting, and so did Kevin.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
How do you top that?
We're moving on, I know.
He bagged her groceries. Groceries. He did what to her?
You heard her. That's how you top that.
That was
you heard her.
Moment
you heard her.
Kevin.
All right. What about American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah.
If we're talking about.
How did you not play that one? Yeah.
Wow.
Agreed.
Wow.
If
we're talking
agreed.
About.
Wow. Agreed.
Wow. Omissions in the top 10. We have heard from quite a few listeners who are very disappointed that this effort from me did not make the list.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
I would think that some of those. What's that that show that we like? You know, the one with the guy who Allie.
That was A Moment with Bean. Because he gave us all that we needed. He gave us that show we like.
Uh-huh. One more. You should have had it then, I think.
And that guy.
Right. So certainly at that point.
I mean, really, that's on us.
You should have chimed in with the answer on that one.
Recognizing what that was.
Yeah.
There's a
10,
lot. A
ten
lot
slots is not enough to encapsulate what a bad set of broadcasters were in 2015, I guess.
That's correct, yes.
I agree. Speaking of 2015, real quick shout-out. I want to thank the nice folks at the OC Weekly newspaper who released yesterday their list of the 5 best live comedy shows of 2015. And Hollywood Babylon made it into the top 5 best, 5 best comedy shows of 2015.
No.
Hollywood Babylon got the nod, along with The Warped Tour, which was pretty funny. Also, Funny or Die's Oddball Comedy and Curiosity Festival made the top 5. As did Festival Supreme, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the boys in before. And a little something called April Foolishness.
Wow.
All right.
K-Rock's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness show made the top 5 best comedy shows of 2015.
How does it not? They're all headliners. I mean, it wasn't us.
Yeah, but we organized
it. Yeah, we
did. Put it together and made it available for people to see. A little something-something.
All right.
Anyway, it was cool. And so, thanks for
congratulations,
that.
Congratulations, Ralph.
Thank you. And to you, Bean. Here's some good news. You know all that construction that's been going on up there at Universal Studios Hollywood?
Yes.
For the Wizarding World of Harry Potter?
Right.
Well, now we know. Grab onto your wands, boys. Because Hogwarts is a-coming.
Are we still...
Yeah, what talking, are we about? Talking about?
We're still grabbing our wands, right?
April 7th.
April 7th.
2016, the grand opening of the Wizarding World of Harry Potter happening up there at Universal Studios Hollywood. We have an official release date. It's official. It's a release date. And it's official.
So you're saying we have an official release date?
Yes. The doors will open and you can drink all the butter beer your belly can hold.
Hey,
what?
Dumb question, but are there other Harry Potter theme parks around the world, or
there's
is this the first?
There's one at Universal Studios Florida in Orlando. That's okay. Where the idea was born.
And crazy successful
and
on taking it?
Everyone loved it so much that Universal said, well,
if only we had another theme park where we could do this. And somebody said, hey, what about that one there in Los Angeles? And they said, oh, that's right. Hey, let's do that. Let's do that. So
let's tear down the best concert venue in Los Angeles and make that happen.
Why do you have to do that?
He ruins everything.
And that's what happened.
Right, but you don't have to be a baby about it.
That's how we lost the
Gibson. Right, but you don't have to be a baby.
But now we get to play Quidditch and ride dragons, you dope.
All right. Just saying.
And tragic news. Bean, it's okay, Bean. It's all right. Bean, someone get him some chocolate milk and a binky. Tragic news out of New York City. In Columbus Circle. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow opened up Goop Market, a pop-up store to sell her goop out of.
That's her website where nothing is less than like $1.5 million?
Yes, that's her lifestyle website. She opened a pop-up store in New York City called Goop Market. By the way, market spelled M-R-K-T. Oh, Gwyneth. Mm. Oh, you card.
See what she did?
It was a big star-studded event last Wednesday, and all of her friends, Drew Barrymore, was there, and a bunch of stars, and it was quite the event. Then on Saturday, three men broke into the store and stole $173,000 worth of merchandise. Luckily, it was just one item. It was just a purse. But still, it's a lot of value right there. Seriously, it wasn't that much stuff, wasn't stolen. It was like one bracelet. That was $106,000.
Wow.
And another bracelet that was $43,000.
Did they not think they would need security of any type?
Well, who wants goop? Huh? I don't want goop. You want goop?
We need to build a wall.
We do. For all the goop stealers. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger, 62 years old today. Terry Hatcher's 51. Sinead O'Connor's 49. Corey Taylor from Slipknot is 42. Those boys from Lost, Dominic Monaghan and Ian Somerhalder, both celebrate birthdays today. Phillip Rivers, QB for the Chargers, is 34. Nicki Minaj is 33. And from your Los Angeles Kings hockey team, Drew Doughty celebrates his 26th birthday.
Seriously, one of the best players in the NHL.
He's an excellent, excellent player. Katie Stevens from MTV's Faking It plays Karma on that TV series. She's 23. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning at all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have top 10 beer mug interview highlights.
Yeah!
Having a real tough time narrowing that down to 10. I'll tell you that right now.
Hope there's bees.
We have, thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Oh, yeah, we
How
do.
How dare you?
We do.
We have comedian Tim Minchin in studio, and we have one of the funniest people on the planet as well. Bill Burr will join us tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we've got tickets both nights on the floor for K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning.